Guess what day it is?
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Someday. It's my guess is Humday.
On Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
The voice of Anna DeVantis frolicking in Mexico in her little bikini, one she borrowed from Ro. Hi, everybody.
Hola, Steve.
Good morning.
How are you? It's Wednesday.
Hello.
Let's dance.
Have no place to go. Goodbye, baby. Yes, I'm going. Yes, I'm going. Yes, I'm going.
610. Hi, Steve, your radio friend. How are you? And we'll get to the top six and six in just a second. Before we do that, Mark Carmen's here for Dave Enid. Have you heard from Enid?
I texted with him yesterday, Steve. He was on his way to the airport. He seemed very focused.
Probably we should check in with him. Isn't today the day we all have to fill up brackets?
Oh, yeah, because it starts tomorrow, right?
I mean, you could go last minute tomorrow. I'm always a last minute Thursday guy myself.
Mine's probably all done.
Probably should be better to do today, Steve. Yes, would be the.
How do we do it last year? Did we just do Final Four?
I think we did Final Four, championship game, and score.
Okay, so everybody's got to have their bracket done by tomorrow.
Okay.
And then tomorrow on the show, we'll devote one segment to the idiocy of yelling at each other.
Oh, okay.
And then I'll go, enough of this, and then we'll move on.
Right.
All right?
I still can't get Ro in a bikini out of my mind. Thanks for that.
Well, it's between you and your subconscious, Steve. it's super cold outside, but the roads are fine, Hummer.
Yeah, this is crazy. They look fantastic.
Yeah.
Typical delays, but that's it.
A little black ice.
Did Steve, you wipe out?
Steve, you fell the other day. How are you?
I have a big bruise on my side cheek, I guess you'd call it.
Okay. And, now I can't get that out of my mind. Hold on.
Yeah,
wait, hold on. Do you ever think that you drive the Blue Thunder on black ice?
I hadn't thought about it. It was very poetic.
Mm-hmm.
But be careful when you're walking out there.
Did you notice when you went out to your Blue Thunder yesterday, Steve, how it looked? Because I felt very guilty not giving you a birthday present like everybody else did. And if you noticed, the back window, it was immaculate.
Did you clean the back window?
I did.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, thanks for doing mine, too.
Wasn't your birthday?
You know what's funny? Dave Plyer walks up to me yesterday. He came in, I think, to say happy birthday to you. And he said, your car's covered with snow. I said, thanks, dude. Did you think of maybe brushing it off a little?
No, you had about 6 inches of snow on your car. Yeah. All right, so 6:12, shall we? Let's do it.
Now it's time to move on to a little something we call...
The Steve Cochran Show presents the top six at six.
That's the best number I've heard yet.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yes.
Six.
Lucky guess.
My favorite number is six.
The top six at six on 720 WGN.
Item number one is the non-story of the day. 2 pages of Donald Trump's 2005 tax return were leaked last night, likely by Donald Trump or someone in the Trump universe, because the 2005 return showed that he paid taxes, not necessarily his fair share, but on $150 million in income, he paid something around $38 million in taxes, and somewhere in the neighborhood of 25%. And isn't he a swell guy? Those 2 pages show absolutely nothing. They prove nothing. And all we're asking is that you, Mr. President, do the same thing every other president has done. Release your tax returns. This is not a release. This is a leak. And this is a typical Trump move. Leak something, claim it came from somebody else, create a distraction over the other two stories of the day, which will be the major stories of the day, and that's Trump Care, Ryan Care, and the wiretaps. And that's it. Because here's the deal. Again, there's only a couple arguments you can make in politics because politics ain't that hard. And that is, if this is indicative of all of your taxes, then why during the debates when it was brought up by the New York Times that you likely hadn't paid any taxes, did you go, well, that just proves that I'm smart, therefore admitting that you hadn't paid any taxes? Did you not know about your 2005 returns?
He probably doesn't know. He probably just has all of his accountants and people doing it.
I have a feeling that if you gave $38 million to the government, you probably know.
That's true.
But in the meantime, why not then just, if there's nothing to hide, if this is indicative of all of your taxes, then why have we had all of this talk for all of these months? Just release them all. Just prove that every bit of suspicion about you is wrong. Let them go. Release them. If they love you, they'll come back. Let them go. Release them into the wild. That's all.
That'll be our big story in 2030.
Next! FBI Director James Comey, will he or won't he? Today he is supposed to tell Congress whether or not there is, in fact, even an investigation going on into the wiretap claims that the president could clear up simply by saying, I'm going to pick up the phone now and call and see if there was a wiretap. That's the kind of power he has. He could also declassify any documents that are previously classified at the same time. Comey's announcement or announcement to Congress or leak from Congress as soon as it's announced to Congress should come somewhere around midday when Melissa McCarthy does her briefing. One more time. By the way, do we know if Melissa McCarthy is going to appear as Spicy Spicerman again anytime soon?
I think it's going to be in the future. I don't think it's this weekend. But I think she will be back as Sean.
So she hasn't decided she won't do it anymore?
No, she has not said she won't do it.
Okay.
Like Baldwin said he won't do Trump anymore. Or he said
he's going to phase it out.
Yeah.
He just wants to be told how great he is. Item number three. There is a man named Jeffrey Epstein, who is a accused and soon to be convicted pedophile. Very well off, very rich man with a plane. A plane that he is said to have flown around with teenage girls on it who were willingly or forced to have sex with old men. Old men that may or may not have included Bill Clinton and Donald Trump. Oh, yeah. Hadn't heard about this story? This was floating around for the past couple of years. The trial of Jeffrey Epstein is coming up. In that trial, the president is on a witness list. Now, that does not mean he will be called, but that means he could be called. Got anything uglier than that today? I don't think so. Next.
Great.
Bracket day today. Let's go live to Carmen now. He is ensconced right in the middle of a bracket, a giant bracket here on the floor. He's going from region to region. If I had to ask you to pick your winner right now, who's your winner?
The Northwestern Wildcats, Steve. Let's go Cinderella all the way. No, I'll take Villanova for the back-to-back.
When was the last time we had a back-to-back?
Last back-to-back, I read it yesterday and forgot it now. It's been a while, but it has happened.
Was it a Duke, right? North Carolina?
I think it was a Duke. Hang on. Last back-to-back, NCAA.
I don't like Duke. I always pick Duke to lose early on.
How come we don't like Duke?
Because they just always win.
Okay. All right. Well, that's just irrationally fair as a sports
fan.
Right.
That's how I pick my bracket.
So, last back-to-back NCAA champions, Mark Carmen was?
Last back-to-back, Mike Jacobson was?
Last back-to-back, Mary Sandberg was.
Anybody have Google on the show?
Illinois. Wait, that wouldn't happen.
Anybody? There's people in their cars right now who are driving who have this answer.
North Carolina.
It was actually Florida, 2006 and 2007.
That's what it was, yeah. Right.
2006 that was and 2007?
Yeah.
Because you know who was in the championship game in 2005.
That would have been Illinois.
Then Illinois.
Okay.
Wow.
Next! Ben Affleck said he did the rehab stint, and he's out now. He admitted he did rehab, and he admitted he's out now. Well, I guess admitting he's out now, he's out now. So good for him. Good for him. You wish him nothing but the best.
Wish him well.
Yeah. And it's official. Weekend Update, you Saturday Night Live fans, will be a primetime fill-in show this fall. It'll have a short run, but the two weakest anchors they've ever had on the show, even though they were funny last week. Nice guys. Both of them are nice guys. But they're weak.
They are weak. Colin Jost is, I think, the weaker of the two.
Colin Jost and Michael Che.
Yeah.
They will host Weekend Update primetime this fall on NBC. Anybody watch the This Is Us last night?
No, don't spoil it.
I did.
Don't tell me.
Now, was that the season finale?
Yes.
No, I think there's one more.
I thought last night was. You sure?
It sure didn't seem like a finale to me.
I thought there's one more. I think there's one more.
I'm a week behind, so don't tell me.
I gotta look
it up. Well, no, I don't. I hate to be that person, but I was busy.
We just were that person.
I was busy last night. Normally, I'll watch
I didn't watch it. Was there some giant spoiler in it?
No.
Yeah, so there's nothing to spoil for you.
Well, okay, so according to the New York Times, their story, which I'm not going to read, says This Is Us ends a tear-jerking season with a beginning.
What?
Well, that doesn't mean last night was
that
the last
episode. Night, though?
People, I didn't watch it.
Okay.
You all did.
It just kind of was, yeah. I don't know. Wasn't that thrilled about it.
Yeah.
It was...
I think
there were no questions answered.
I thought there was one more.
But they said,
by the way, if you want half information, you've come to the right show.
Right. But they said they're not going to tell. We all know that Milo's character, you know, dies. We all know. We just don't know how. They said if the season it's picked up, if it's picked up again, which it will be, they're not.
It's already picked up.
Yeah, they're not going to divulge it. They're still. It's going to be a while. They said. So. It's
okay. Well, then that's why.
So you're.
Well,
not
there's rumors all over the internet that he dies of cancer. I mean, it's been all over.
Really?
Everywhere.
Did you have to say that, Steve?
It's been all over. It's been all over everywhere.
But what is, you know, after we find out how he dies, what else is there?
Well, but
to
think
find
about
out?
It from a script writing process. How do you keep him in the show longest? Huh? A long term illness.
Right. Keep, that's true. That's true.
Okay. Just trying to bring common sense into an uncommon world.
It was interesting, though, last night. It was really well acted, that's for sure.
And I thought Milo Ventimiglia. Is that his name?
Milo Ventimiglia.
Ventimiglia. I thought he was older than he is. You know how old he is?
No.
38.
Do you know his movie debut? Rocky Balboa. He played Rocky's son.
He was Rocky's kid?
Oh, yeah.
Remember? It was the most recent Rocky movie where he.
I love him.
He came back in the ring to fight.
I love him. He's my favorite guy on that This Is Us situation.
And he can look old and he can look young.
Yes.
Yeah, weird.
Yeah. .625 Hawks big win over the Canadiens last night. Mark Harmon, what was the final?
4-2, baby.
Got busy late. It was 3-0 with about 10 minutes to go.
A little dicey in the third. Canadians had 18 shots in the third, Crawford gave up his only 2 goals in the third. But 40 saves, never lost to Montreal in regulation. 7-0-2.
Corey's a Montreal native, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. He loves playing the Canadiens. And then the Caner. Tops in the NHL. Tied with Connor McDavid, the young stud up in Edmonton, 76 points. But the Anisimov injury, a little dicey, Steve.
I thought I heard this morning that he's going to be fine.
Well, they said they'd find out later today. And okay. Q did say day-to-day, but I don't know. That he did not get off the ice without
a little help.
Yeah.
Now that I'm 56, I have both upper body and lower body injuries.
Right, right. Yeah.
So, mostly those are getting out of the car.
I think you look good, Steve.
Thanks, I appreciate
you
it.
You bounded in the studio today.
I did bound. Yes, I did. I don't even know what that means, but it absolutely happened. Here's a preview on tomorrow. Speaking of the Chicago Blackhawks, and this being your Chicago Blackhawks radio station, we'll have the Blackhawks in Ottawa starting at 6:30. Accurate?
6 o'clock, pre 6:30, right after Wildcat basketball.
Pregame may get clipped a bit depending on when the Wildcats take the air and leave the air. The first game tomorrow is the Gonzaga game in that region, yes?
That is...
I know that's the answer. I was deferring to you to make you look good.
Thank you very much. Yes, that's the first game. Right, Gonzaga and South Dakota State. Can't wait for that one.
All right, so we don't anticipate that being an overtime spectacular. We anticipate Gonzaga walking away with a win there fairly quickly.
You know, this is a well-deducted discernation of what's going to happen tomorrow. You're right, Steve.
Right, so the average college basketball game length is somewhere around 2 hours and 10 minutes?
Yes, and the NCAA tournament, more timeouts. So you have to factor that in there. However, I would say that the Blackhawks pregame will not be truncated. I think Dave Enna will do everything within his power to be off on time.
I think that's absolutely going to happen. So let's say we go a full 2:30.
Uh-huh.
2:30 still leaves more than 2.5 hours to complete the game, including a bit of pregame and postgame.
Yes.
So it's going to be fine.
It's going to be fine. It's also going to be a significant celebration.
Sometime around 3:30. The Northwestern Wildcats take the court versus
the Vanderbilt Commodores, who have
that's a big medical school. Do the Commodores actually play in scrubs?
They don't, but maybe they should. They both have a 10.7% acceptance rate to incoming potentials.
How about that?
So there's that. I've done my extensive research.
Were you turned down by either school?
I was the don't even think about it, so I didn't actually make the statistics.
You know, I grew up around Cornell University, and my father worked at Cornell University, and my mother always wanted me to go to Cornell, and I had to explain to her that they have to take you. You can't just show up. Yeah.
Well, you could, but then they just, you know, quickly escort you
away.
Excuse
me, young man, why are you in this class? Because mom wanted me to come.
Couldn't you do the Matt Damon Goodwill Hunting, hang around, just show up at class type of thing?
Yeah, just clean the halls and stuff, and then eventually hit the window and go, you like apples? How about these apples?
Right.
Yeah. So tomorrow when they play, this is a team, this Vanderbilt team, they've lost 15 games.
They did lose 15 games, but they've also beaten Florida three times. I mean, that's a top 10 team in the country. They've got a guy, Luke Kornet, 7-1, causes some problems in the middle. He's an all-defensive guy.
So we need to blackjack that guy. We need to go full Nancy Kerrigan on him.
Yes. Okay. Yes, yes. They've got they got four scores in double figures. Ain't going to be easy, bottom line.
A lot of three-point shooters.
They don't shoot a very high percentage, though, so there's that. Bryce Drew is a first-year head coach. Him and Chris Collins know each other well if you're looking at the coaching.
So if they're cold from three, do they have enough inside game to be a pro?
No, Luke Kornet is not. Their big man actually likes to shoot the three.
So he's a defender and a rebounder.
Right. 32% from three for the big man. He likes to step on out.
So defensively, wouldn't you just guard the perimeter and let him have the inside game?
Yep. Yep. And I'd also...
You think Chris Collins has figured that out without me?
Probably so. Brian James was on the program on Saturday. He's like, you give Chris a little bit of time to prepare. He's going to come up with something pretty good here. Yeah, so you got to like that part. That big guy, by the way, has a 3.7 in physics. So maybe
me
he's
too,
just,
by the way.
Yeah, I think he's here. I think he's just focused on his studies. It's more important anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
So if we throw out some crazy string theory chant for Northwestern fans, he'd probably be mesmerized by that.
I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
Give you one more on Vanderbilt. They started 8-10, but have been playing a lot better as of late, if you want to add on to a little bit of fear, which I've been living in since the announcement on Sunday.
I think Northwestern wins.
I really, really hope so. I think they do, too.
Yeah, I think they win. And then it's a Northwestern-Gonzaga round two game, which would be Saturday.
Yes, and okay. Would be incredible.
Okay. Mark will swoon for a moment before he actually gives you a full sportscast coming up, and we'll do the big story next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
I haven't caught any of Roe's shows from Mexico. How's Kevin Paul doing? Has he been arrested? Anybody heard him?
Hey, I haven't seen any police reports, although it's hard to get those from the Mexican police.
My understanding is he's on a very deep dive down there doing investigative reports on future Cubs.
I don't know if Kevin's ever been to Mexico. Has he been to Mexico?
I don't think so. He looks good, though. He lost all his weight. I saw one picture of him in a, not a flower shirt, but one of those, you know, beach shirts.
He wasn't wearing a Speedo, was he?
Was he running around shirtless?
I didn't see him shirtless. He was wearing shorts.
Did he get to the gym before he left?
And one of those, you know, you guys wear those beach shirts.
Well, yeah, guys my age wear them.
The beach ones, you know, they're like Tommy Bahama, but there's not flowers.
Guys my age wear them.
I saw a video of
Kevin's wearing one.
Stealing Violetta's food or something. Wasn't there a video posted?
Okay.
I didn't see that.
I haven't seen it.
He was very mad.
I haven't seen any of it. I just hope they're having a great time.
I know he did get onto the golf course because he shot a thing on Instagram.
Oh, good.
So he's playing some golf. That's great. He stole Violetta's steak right off her plate.
Oh, that's what it was.
She said, I think the message there is ask first.
Well, we've always said to Kevin.
How did we miss that?
We've always said to Kevin Paul was a 55-year-old trapped in a 26 or 7 or 8-year-old body. And so far what we know is he's wearing Cabana shirts, he's playing golf, and he's eating steak. Yeah. Again, it sounds like a 55-year-old guy on vacation.
Right. Is he reporting the sports at all?
Yeah, I assume so.
Oh.
Yeah.
Andy Mazur.
No, Andy.
Andy's doing it?
He's doing it.
Kevin's just there as an extra personality, I think.
Mm. Hold on a second. Why can't Kevin do the sports from Mexico?
Yeah, he's busy. The internet,
so no internet?
I don't know. That does. It's maybe he's, yeah.
He's
eating Violetta's steak. He's a busy man.
Let me make clear something on this show. We are in discussions about many places to take this show. I turned down a trip a couple of weeks ago that you guys would have loved.
Yeah, thanks for that, by the
way.
Yeah, I can't talk about it. But when we go, you're all working. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're not going to have somebody back here taking care of the sports. We're not going to have somebody back here taking care of the news.
Isn't that the whole point of going on location? Because you're going to work.
Yeah.
Well, you can't do traffic from Mexico.
Why?
But she's Mary got the internet and it works. Yeah, yeah. I'm doing it. Wherever
we
go.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm making it up. I'm doing it.
That should make everybody feel so much better.
Sure, of course. 6:44, my friend Patty Vasquez here. Well, she's all of our friends. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you doing?
Why are you just all right?
I'm trying to think of anything good to say about Springfield, and I couldn't find anything.
No, I don't blame you. There's nothing good to say. By the way, I want to start today. This is an idea from Ross Cochran, which I like, the Mike Madigan game. The Mike Madigan game is at the end of the show. If Mike Madigan doesn't show up, because he's invited every day to be on the show to be interviewed, and if he doesn't show up, we'll give away prizes to a listener at the end of the show.
So basically, you're going to be giving away prizes to a listener at the end
of the
show.
I like their chances.
Oh, there you go.
It's the Mike Madigan game, the easiest game ever to win. If Mike Madigan doesn't show up, you're a big winner.
Isn't it like, isn't it like saying you get a prize because you are breathing? Or you wake up?
Well, listen, I mean, there's a chance.
Yeah.
Jess, what are you shaking your
head? No, because every day he doesn't show up, we actually lose. So it's good that somebody wins. Everybody else loses.
Well, no, but somebody ought to get win in this state. That's my point.
Yes.
Yeah.
I agree. That makes sense.
Yeah. So at the end of the show, the big winner. All right, let's go back about 10 years when I was doing the afternoon show. You and I spent a lot of time at that point talking about the state of the state and the fact that special needs causes and kids in particular were being victimized by a poorly run state government.
You had encouraged me to put together an army of moms to go down to Springfield and talk about how bad it was.
Mom mission.
We had no idea.
Mission mom.
It was almost like the state went, oh, you think it's bad now? Just you wait.
Well, we couldn't imagine that it could have gotten a lot worse than then. Frankly, it's gotten exponentially worse, which nobody knows better than Patty, who makes regular trips to Springfield to try to figure it out and try to help the cause.
Actually, the people that know most are the people who are going to lose services, have been losing services, the service providers who are closing their doors, losing millions of dollars.
Any anecdotes for me?
There's a, you know,
well,
I
when we come back from traffic.
Yes.
Right, so
well, but vague ones. Is that
what do you mean vague?
Because I don't want to be specific about the organizations that have contacted me because
No, you don't have to name names, but tell me stories about organizations that are being specifically hurt by this. Because the point I want people to understand is though, even though you feel like it hasn't come to your front door, it has.
Exactly. It's imminent.
6:46. Let's do this first. Mary with the traffic, and then back with Patty Vasquez, who's currently on the air. Well, not currently, but she's on the air every night from 11 p to 2a on this radio station, 720 WGN. And they can follow you on social media where?
On Twitter at Patty Vasquez CHI. That's PattyVasquezCHI.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the same on Instagram and similar information on Facebook.
All right.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
6:51, coming up, why is my chicken cold? What? Chili poultry. You're going to want to hear that story. Betty Vasquez is here. So last week I was outraged, and I don't mean fake outraged, I mean legitimately outraged, when I saw a story from NBC5's political team that there was time spent in Springfield, and I don't know if you were there that day, talking about and not necessarily debating over, but yucking it up about Zombie Awareness Month and naming October Zombie Awareness Month as a way to shed light on how we all should have emergency preparedness kits as opposed to just calling it that and moving on.
Yeah. I texted you the day that they had the Cubs World Series trophy in the house.
Which they spent hours with.
Oh, my God. And not only that, but the there were people that had lined up at the Abraham Presidential Library.
At Lincoln's?
And people, like busloads of kids had come from schools. And the trophy was at the Capitol for so long that they had decided at some point at the library that it was too late in the day and they'd cut it off. Even if you had been waiting in line, they were only going to take the first 500 people.
So the citizens who had stood in line in the hopes to get a quick picture or a look at the trophy couldn't because the legislators who are miserably failing took too long with it.
And they gave speeches, and there should have been maybe a couple of speeches, in admiration of what the Cubs had achieved, but there were these long, you know, anecdotes about their childhoods, and I get it. You know what? So have we all. I mean, those of us who have grown up. And there were Sox fans that got
up and
gave
speeches.
You know
what? Tell it to your friends at lunch.
Exactly. Go, you know, buy the Cubs some flowers.
Yeah.
Get them a banquet hall.
Yeah.
But what I told you, which really bothered me, was they adjourned after that. There were committee hearings for certain legislative actions throughout the day.
Like Zombie Awareness Month.
That might have been. I don't even know if I can sit there. I couldn't go down this week because I just want to start screaming from the press box. It's bad.
It comes down to have you no shame. Why would the clueless members, and by the way, they're not all.
No.
But the vast majority have to be lumped into this. You know what they are? They're a basket of deplorables.
Wow.
The people that are involved in all of this to engage in, and some of them spoke out against it, whether it's lauding the Cubs and spending time talking about their childhood so it will be read into the record.
Exactly.
Or negotiating Zombie Awareness Month because they thought it'd be cute and funny. What's funny about the situation we're in?
Well, and there are organizations that are shutting down. There are organizations that have already cut back their services, some by 90%, drug rehabilitation facilities, domestic violence, mental health services for the elderly. And this is what bothered me from day one. The day that we started going to Springfield, which was World Autism Day in 2015, was, you know, someone told me, Representative Sullivan said to me, you know, well, everyone's going to have to pay. Everyone's going to suffer. And so far, it seems to me it has been the most vulnerable. And our colleges, too, our universities, our higher education are suffering. Students all over the state of Illinois, from pre-K to high school, they're the ones that are suffering the most so far. People might be feeling it a little bit who have, you know, the means with which to buffer this, but the people who can't are suffering the most.
But here's something you can speak to specifically, and the thing that you can't really quantify and the thing that really pisses me off. The stress that's created for people because of the inaction and not knowing when the other shoe's going to drop, whether it's a family with a special needs child or a family with a kid who's on a college grant who's trying to realize their dreams and whether or not they're going to be able to stay in college and how are they going to fund college going forward. When you don't provide any answers for your basic job that you have to provide, there's nothing more basic than a frickin' budget. That's just to go to work, do a budget. And for no answers, the stress it's created is unbelievable. Isn't that true for you as a special needs family?
This is going to be an immeasurable loss. We'll never know how much people have suffered over the last 2 years.
And we're talking about health. We're talking about the, you know, marriages.
Exactly. I mean, as it is, and let's just go, like we've talked about special needs population. The divorce rate amongst parents with children with disabilities is over 72%. It's like they measure it about 72-74%. Now, add on to that the stresses that people are suffering and experiencing, worrying about whether or not their child is going to be able to maintain the gains that they've gotten. Or even for my family, Declan has not had ABA therapy in 18 months. And we didn't
explain
even realize
what ABA
that.
Therapy is.
Yes. It's applied behavioral analysis.
That's what Amy does.
And it helps an individual learn when they might have barriers to understanding things. And Declan had never pointed. Declan does not speak. And we had ABA therapy for about 6 months. And for the first time, Declan learned how to point when he was 8 years old. And that sounds like it's a, you know, kind of an innocuous thing.
It's a huge deal.
It's an entire conversation.
Right.
When I point at Declan's bed, it means bedtime. And Declan points at the door and he says, I don't wanna.
Right.
And we never had that conversation until he was 8 years old.
Right.
And that was enormous. And not long after that, we've talked about this, I got my first kiss from Declan.
Right.
And I really believe it had to do with the fact that he was learning how to communicate. He understood kind of give and take. And we try to maintain as much of that as we could. But it is it's a constant service. It's learning that it has to be overseen by someone who has a degree in that.
Right.
Has learned the psychology of how to address individual needs.
I love the videos that you put up, too, of your son, Declan's world, because you shoot it from the back, and just certain things like when he was throwing the ball over the side of the gym and thought it was funny. You know, he was giggling because...
Man, he likes to throw things at people.
But you could see it. Yeah, but you could see it when you first started. And now, you know, that just the communication and the understanding.
Well,
and
when
he
language.
Giggles at
it
certain
is.
Things.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, parents will tell you, I mean, when you hit a milestone, when you reach a goal, the joy and the happiness that you never thought you were going to have is unbelievable. So, you know, extrapolate and consider how much more suffering, how much harder it is to bear when you think, well, I might never reach the next milestone because I don't have any sort of support. And these are, you know, someone called the show one night and says, why do I got to pay for autistic kids? Well, you know, why do we got to pay for anything? You know, we've talked about this, that's exactly how the listener sounded. And I understand where people are frustrated and angry.
I
know, but, you and I've talked about who are we? We should measure ourselves by how we take care of the most vulnerable.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let me just extrapolate that out. Why do we have to take care of you, listener, when you're old? Why do we have to pay your Social Security? Well, why do we have to provide any services whatsoever for anybody at any time? Why do we have to fix the roads? Not that we do anymore. Why do we have to do anything at all?
Well, and my friend, firefighter Todd Chuchuk, hates when I bring up the firefighters. Not everyone else is going to catch on fire.
Right.
But when it does, we all expect the fire department to show up, and they do an amazing job, and we are grateful for that. And we are grateful for when they show up for our neighbors, and we know that when something happens to us, they will be there for us.
The great malpractice that's gone on in this state is the taxes that you pay, you don't get to determine where the money is spent. But the problem is the people that are spending it erroneously, and they have for years, and they've gotten away with it. Mm-hmm. So what's the upshot, as we're running out of time here quickly, is what do we tell people to do? Everybody can't go to Springfield.
No.
Everybody can't sit through the stress.
I've asked people for the entire time, not just now, but throughout the rest of your life. Citizenry is hard, and we have to work at it, and we have to demand that our legislators, that our executive, whether it's the governor or the mayor, that they are accountable for the people that they serve. They are public servants. They are here to serve you.
Yes.
And tell them that. They need to know your story.
And the state has failed you for years.
Yes. It is. So keep showing up.
And it's not a Republican thing. It's not a Democrat thing. It's an Illinois thing. And if you care, and because it is affecting you and it will affect you, and the outrage of not taking care of the most needy people in this state, or the people, and needy is not the right word, the people who have the most vulnerabilities. Right. That's good.
Yeah.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Some of you are right there with me, and you remember we never lost a war. America never lost. And now we never win a war.
Right after the oath of office, they give you the nuclear codes, the biscuit. Sobering moment.
When they explain what it represents and the kind of destruction that you're talking about, it is a very sobering moment. Yes, it's very, very, very scary in a sense.
A dream would be that no country would have nukes. But if countries are going to have nukes, we're going to be at the top of the pack.
714, Colonel David Hunt has been a Fox News analyst for years, along with fighting our nation's wars for the past 30. An Olympic security consultant, consultancy work in Bosnia, and frontline work everywhere, and knows what he's talking about. His new book's called Without Mercy. Without Mercy is pretty frickin' scary. How's that? Which line am I on here? Where am I picking him up? Oh, we dropped him. We got to pick him up again. We'll get Colonel David Hunt back here in just a second. But when we get him back, the idea is for Without Mercy, there's been a nuclear attack, first on one of our air bases in Afghanistan, and secondly on Battery Park in New York City. Now what? And the now what may sound like some sort of escape from New York, Armageddon, thank God it's just a movie. But with the increased level of threat from that little lunatic in North Korea, what could be next? And are we ready? So you guys let me know when the colonel's ready, and we'll pop him on here for the couple of minutes that we have with him. Colonel David Hunt, as I said, a regular on Fox News, amongst other places. At 7:15, let's get traffic first from Mary. What's happening?
It looks like some pretty big delays popping up now in the inbound Eisenhower, an hour 5 from 53 and about 50 minutes in from Mannheim. Outbound trip about 34 to 53. The Eden's 26 in both directions. Outbound Kennedy 32 to the airport. Hour 5 coming in from O'Hare, 30 now from the Eden's. Inbound Stevenson, that's also an hour from the Tri-State. And the Ryan's up to 25 minutes from 95th. Bishop Ford, 57 are not too bad, along with the tollways. Lakeshore Drive is starting to build into Belmont. And still have an accident, Taylor and Canal. And an Elgin at Randall and I-90. Still police activity as Harlem blocked off between Toohey and Northwest Highway. For traffic on the 7s or 8s or anytime on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app. Pre-approved by Acunet Mortgage. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. Mary Vandeveld, WG on Traffic Central.
All right. We are trying to reestablish connection here with the colonel. Let's do this. Let's take a 60-second break. And if we get him, we get him. We'll be back in just a second at 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
The best things in life are free, but you can give them to the birds and bees. I need
our friend Jordan Goodman standing by. Get to him in just a second. Before I do that, the advice is coming in from Mark Carman. I ask women to text in advice for Mark Carman on living a long and happy life with a lovely lady with him as a partner in life. and marriage and family and all the things you want out of life, Mark.
Can we call the 815 who wants to marry me? We might as well just do that.
Seems like that's a little quicker than you need. You probably should get to know her. But anyway, here's a few. 630, always tell the truth, no matter how much it might hurt.
Mm.
Are you good at telling the truth?
At times.
Don't you love the response?
Well, you know, just some things that you've got to keep to yourself. Can't put it all out there, Steve.
It's a good thing he's cute.
Let's keep in mind why Mark is single. 630, don't expect more out of your partner than you're willing to give yourself.
That doesn't seem fair.
Oh, boy. Red flag.
Speaking of flags, don't ignore flags. As soon as your spider senses are tingly, know that there's a problem. We have a tendency to waste time on foolishness and then more time licking our wounds, missing out on potentially great experiences. By the way, my name is Carmen, and my husband of 17 years is named Mark. So I'm excited about you finding happiness.
Yeah, that one really did. I felt that one. Thank you, 219.
Two words for Mark for a long and happy marriage. Yes, dear. That's from Annette in Belvedere.
How about keep the passion alive?
How about I'm the prize?
That's good. Wow.
Jeez.
Wow.
It's a good thing you're cute.
Wow. 815, stop staring and just say hi. This is a problem guys have all the time. Guys will just stare at a beautiful woman. Say hello.
Yeah, I do have that problem significantly.
Just say hello. Don't just have your mouth gape open and drool. Just say hello.
Yeah, that's been going on since, I don't know, third grade?
630, Mark needs to move out of his mom's basement.
That's not nice.
You live on your own, don't you?
I do live
most
on my
the
own.
Time?
Most of the time.
Do your own laundry?
Yes, right. I do.
630, get rich, it helps. There's a few. 312-981-7200. Keep those texts coming in, and if you'd like to get rich, Jordan Goodman can help you get there. Hello, buddy.
Happy birthday.
And thanks to you on that. I appreciate it. All right, so I want to just wrap up the Colonel interview because I thought it was one of my best. Colonel David Hunt from a few moments ago, we don't know what happened to the line. The line dropped, and we could not reconnect, so I don't know if he had to go off on a mission. Or what the case
Russian
may be.
Russian hacking. I would say Russian hacking. You know, they didn't want to hear this.
Thanks, Obama. His new book is out and available everywhere, and I've already forgotten the title, and I gave it away. What's it called again? I'll give him a plug for this. Without Mercy. Without Mercy. Feel free to check it out. It is a thriller, and we're not under nuclear attack now, but we'll revisit the Colonel Hunt issue at a later time. Jordan, how are you?
Great to be with you. This is a historic day in two ways. It's the Ides of March.
Mm-hmm.
It's your birthday.
Yes. Well, yesterday, actually, but thank you.
Close. The pre-Ides of March.
Yes.
And then the Fed's going to raise rates today, and tonight we default on the national debt.
Wow. All right. Let's click off a few of these. How much is the interest rate hike expected to be today?
They're going to go up a quarter point.
Okay.
Probably two more times this year. They raised rates a quarter point last December. They're feeling the economy is strong enough. I mean, in this case, we're just totally clear. They've made very, very clear about what they're going to do. And it's been amazing. The stock market's saying, great, go for it. I mean, had I told you a year ago that the Fed was going to raise rates three times in 2017, the market would have fallen off a cliff somewhere.
Right.
But now it's like, oh, yeah, great. The economy's doing fine. Rates are too low. They should go up. The banks are making huge amounts of money on this because what they're doing is when the rates go up today, what you pay on credit cards, student loans, car loans, mortgages, all those things are going to go up a quarter point. But what you earn on savings accounts, CDs, money market funds is not going to go up, right? So this is the way it works. The banks are getting ahead, and the bank stocks are doing great, but the average person is not benefiting at all when interest rates rise like this.
Well, that's the true story of 2017 and really the past couple of years. There's the Wall Street economy and the real economy.
Right.
The real economy it's certainly been doing better. It's not the Wall Street economy.
Yeah, the Wall Street economy is doing great. I mean, when they had Snap IPO last week and all kinds of mergers and acquisitions going on, and all the tax cuts they're talking about in Washington are just a Wall Streeter's dream in every way possible, lowering capital gains rates, eliminating the alternative minimum tax. One of the things that was interesting last night when Trump's tax return came out for 2005, just at least the first two pages of it, was the only reason he paid any taxes at all was the alternative minimum tax.
Right.
Had that not
my
been
favorite.
There,
oh, I love the AMT.
Tax.
Oh, it's the best.
Yeah. And so he wants to eliminate the AMT. So
yeah.
He's making it very clear how that's affecting people. He made $150 million in income,
mm-hmm.
and I think he paid $38 million in tax. And without the AMT, he had losses from depreciation from construction. And so that would have wiped out all of his tax. So the AMT, I think he paid $38 million, you know, which is nothing for him. But if they wipe out the AMT, then those people would not pay any tax at all. So as you say, this is kind of the Wall Street economy.
I believe that there is a way to rewrite the tax code where people pay their fair share. I believe that to be true, and I believe the AMT is heavy-handed. And by the way, there's very few things that Mr. Trump and I agree on, but maybe this might be one of them. But having said that, time will tell, and the tax story turns out to be a non-story today. I remember the good old days, Jordan, where we would stay up late and worry about the debt ceiling argument.
Yes.
This isn't even a blip today, is it?
It's crazy. Yeah. No, we're reaching the debt ceiling of $20 trillion. And we're up to about $19.9 trillion, you know, give or take a few hundred billion, but who's kind of counting these days? And they've got to raise the debt ceiling, or we have to do all these extraordinary measures. And then remember, the non-essential employees get laid off. I don't think anything, they're all left because they've all been fired at this point. And then talk about defaulting on the national debt. This whole drama that we usually go through, this time we're not, because the Republicans control everything. They're not making a big hullabaloo about it the way we did in the past. So it's a very different situation. But it still is true tonight, because this happened back in 2015 when John Boehner and Obama made a deal and said, okay, let's agree on everything, taxes, and put all this off until after the election in March 2017. Well, here we are. Okay, and nobody seems, nothing has changed. The deficit continues on.
Yeah, there's no sense of urgency.
No. No, it just shows you how things have changed so dramatically.
Jordan, it doesn't seem like the market reacts too adversely to a lot of things that have been happening lately, whether it's the Russian investigation, the wiretapping allegations, mm-hmm. Michael Flynn stepping down. Is that a good thing, or is everybody just kind of waiting?
Well, they're looking at other things. They're looking at the tax cuts that are coming, infrastructure spending, repatriation of foreign earnings from all over the world. Obamacare, in some ways, it's a big burden on business, so that would help if businesses don't have to offer that. So I think they're looking at those things, and all these other daily, if not hourly, circuses and the latest tweets and all that, it just doesn't worry about Wall Street whatsoever. They're worried about the fundamentals. Now, with the stock market's had a big move here. You know, we're up 21,000 or so on the Dow. If these things don't start happening, then the market could go down, because it's all based on expectations. And so here's the way things go. The first thing has to be repeal of Obamacare, because they're doing it as a budget reconciliation. Then you do tax cuts. Then you do infrastructure. Okay. Politically, it would have been better to start with infrastructure.
Right.
Because the Democrats are, you know, you get a little bipartisanship, kind of get things moving. That's, everybody agrees on something. But that's the third thing that's going to happen. And with what's happening with Obamacare right now, this may fall apart. I mean, the Congressional Budget Office came out with an estimate that in the first year, by 2018, 14 million people would lose health insurance. And by 2026, in 10 years, 24 million would lose health insurance.
Which is more than the total number that were on Obamacare.
So I don't think that's politically too popular. And what is the AARP going to say about that? And also, older people's premiums go up dramatically. They had one example. I think her premium went from $300 to $14,000 or something like that. So politically, I don't see how that's going to get through. They've got to change what they're, and they're kind of rushing it through the House right now. It's going to slow down in the Senate. So I'm just saying that there's kind of these dominoes, and if you don't get Obamacare through, then you don't get the tax cuts through, then you don't get infrastructure through, and everything that the reasons the markets have been going up so much, the apple cart kind of gets upended here.
So 21,000 could turn into a lot less very quickly if politics fall through the floor here.
That's right, because it's gone up. I mean, there's definitely some fundamental reasons, and stocks are doing better because of earnings and all that. But the real reason it's taken off so dramatically since the election is all these political things we just talked about. And there's a lot of expectations built into the market right now. I hope these things do happen. But if they don't, I'm just saying there's a lot of expectation out there.
It's ice, and we don't know how thick it is.
Exactly.
All right, stand by. Jordan Goodman's going to give you a bunch of resources on how you can better yourself with your personal finances coming up. We used to tell you to get a pen and paper. We know those don't exist anymore. So be ready to key these in, not while you're driving, or to make sure you go to moneyanswers.com, because all the resources he's going to talk about, are listed there. More coming up with Jordan Goodman in a second. Again, it's moneyanswers.com, and the big story's next on 720 WGN.
Dollar, 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 that's what I need. Hey, hey, well, I need a dollar, dollar.
dollar, 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 that's what I need. And if I share with you my story, would you share your dollar with me?
7:41, more text coming in from Mark Carmen to try to get him a woman. 6-3-0, always be a gentleman, open doors no matter how long you've been together.
Certainly agree with that.
So old school, come on.
847, advice to Mark, be willing to make concessions. Both parties need to give 51%. The extra 2% is a result of giving in sometime.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Concessions, who would want, that's not the way to approach things. You should all be all in. I'm not conceding anything.
Good.
Why would I
cute.
Concede, Steve?
It's really shocking. It's a real shock that he's single, isn't
I'll
it?
Just keep saying this all morning. Good thing you're cute.
815, clean up after yourself. Don't complain about traffic. Stop and think before you say something hurtful. Compliment her daily. You'll reap the rewards.
Wait, why don't complain about traffic?
Well, just don't stop bitching in life. Yeah.
I mean, I think traffic should be, you know, we're
always. You want an exception there?
Yeah.
708.
Traffic is very frustrating to sit in.
708, if you really think you could like the girl, don't have sex for 3 months.
What?
Wait.
We were talking about this yesterday.
I'm sorry, I just...
Are you arguing on behalf of your client?
Sorry, Mark.
Give each other a chance to know each other first on many levels, not just sex. That tends to muck things up. Emotions get messed up early. Give it time. Work for me, our relationship started off based on many things before we jumped into bed.
I used to think that way. Sorry, Mark.
You're speaking for your client?
I actually think that that is solid advice right there.
Waiting 3 months?
Sure. If you're really
what's
into
the longest you've waited?
3 days. Yeah. That's
I mean,
not true.
But again, we're older. We're more mature. I mean, 708. I'm sorry. Mark is older. He's more mature.
708. Maybe Mark is gay. Oh.
Always a theory.
Which is fine.
It's a popular one. Yeah, absolutely.
It's 7:43. Jordan Goodman rejoins us now, and Jordan, safest place to invest money if you have it right now.
Well, I would go into these commercial real estate income funds because they've done really well. You get 8% yield, super safe, over minimum hold time, 18 months. You get the checks monthly if you want. You can reinvest them. You know, as we talked about before, the banks are going to continue to pay zero pretty much, even though the Fed's raising rates on CDs, money market funds, savings accounts. A website for that is commercialrealestateincomefunds.com.
Not market-based.
Not market-based at all. They've got a phone number as well, 888-444-2102. Does not have any market fluctuation, you're right. It's completely separate from the stock market, from the bond market. You got to earn something in your money today and to get 8%. And by the way, you get profit sharing quarterly on top of that. So when the projects that they're funding inside that fund sell after a year or so, you get a piece of the profits as well. They're lending to high-quality commercial projects that can't get money from banks because the banks are so tight these days. And the maximum they lend is about 70% of the value of the property. So the developer always has a lot of skin in the game. And they've been doing this for like 35 years.
Pretty smart.
So there's a safe place to get 8% as opposed to zero in the bank, which is what's going to stay that way for a long time.
Minimum in?
5,000.
And hold 18 months?
18 months is the minimum hold. After that, you can get money, you know, whenever you like. You could do it inside an IRA. Outside an IRA, so 18 months, and no commissions of any kind, because 100% of what you invest gets the 8%.
People are credit carding themselves to death. What's our credit card debt in this country?
All-time record high on credit cards, over $1 trillion now.
$1 trillion.
Yep.
And $500 million of that is Carmen.
I hope you bought some good stuff, Carmen, for it.
Yes.
Somebody will pay for it someday.
What people don't understand is you don't have to have a credit card from the bank down the street.
Right. There's lots of best cards around the country. A free website to find the best deals is guidetocreditcard.com. As we've talked about before, but we have to give Carmen a little quiz here. What state in the country has the lowest interest credit cards?
Arkansas.
Very good.
You know why? He listens. Yes.
And why is that, Carmen, that Arkansas has the lowest
rate? I'll let you fill in the blank there. I don't want to go too deep into
the lowest usury rates?
So in the 30s, they set up a usury ceilings that the Arkansas banks cannot charge more than 5 percentage points over the prime rate. So the prime rate today is 3.75. Today it's going to go up to 4. So that means they basically can't charge more than 8 or 9, something like that.
And you can still get your Visa, your MasterCard from there.
Yeah, exactly. You don't have to be from Arkansas. Anybody can get them. On that website I just gave you, guidetocreditcard.com, you find all the best deals, lowest interest rates, or frequent flyer miles if you want that. There's a lot of ways of getting better deals, but what comes in the mail is the worst deal, for sure. Those are the ones with the highest fees, the highest rates, the longest, late fees, all those kind of things are pounding on you. So that's getting better cards, for sure.
Do you like the incentive-based cards, or are they all scam?
Well, I mean, the annual fees are going to be higher, but if you get the rewards out of them and it's worth it, then it's fine.
So in other words, use them.
Yeah, don't spread your spending over 10 different cards, and by the time you get enough frequent flyer miles to have a flight, they've expired, so don't do that. But yes, I mean, if you're going to have one airline, you know, concentrate on that one airline, or Amazon points, or Disney points, or GM, or whatever it may be, concentrate your spending so you're going to get the rewards out of it, and then, no, it's not a scam, but the scam is when you spread your spending all over the place and don't get any benefit out of it. Now, I talk to your listeners all the time, Steve, and I know what their problems are. A lot of them, having enough credit cards is not their issue. It's too much credit card debt. And they've got to get that under control. So a good place to do that in a nonprofit way is a nonprofit credit counseling place. They can get you 6-7% rate, something like that, instead of 18% or 25%. You'll get that, and you'll consolidate it all into one place, make one payment to them, and they pay the credit cards off within 2-3 years, depending on how the numbers work out. My favorite place there is called Cambridge Credit Counseling. Their website, cambridgecredit.org. Their phone number, 800-897-2200. They've already got deals with Chase and Bank of America and Citibank and Wells Fargo to get you rates you can't possibly get on your own. It's considered a neutral on your credit score. So getting out of debt is a good thing with these very high interest rates. As we just said, the Fed's going to raise rates today, so that means that the credit card rates are going to go up another quarter point and probably more later this year. So you really want to get out of credit card debt if you can.
What makes Cambridge better than others in a business category that can be a little shady?
Well, you're right. I mean, they've been doing this for like 30 years. They've got about 1 million people signed up in this particular area. And they get very, very good deals from the credit card. And they have very good customer service. They've helped an awful lot of your listeners over the years. So, I mean, there are others out there, but they're on a national basis. They're just doing it on a much bigger basis. And they have good administration of the whole thing as well. So CambridgeCredit.org can help a lot of your folks.
Jordan, when it comes to credit and whatnot, it's not a good idea to have more than one credit card or more than two.
You'd have more than one. Maybe three or four.
But not when every time you go to, say, a particular store. I don't want to name a store, but and they say you want to open an account.
Yeah, when you say if you get 10% or 15% off if you open a credit card as they walk, and then you do four of them, you just hurt your credit score like by 50 points or something.
But three or four cards, you got to use them.
Yeah, but those are called hard inquiries when you're actually applying. When you go to a mall and you know go to each store and you say, oh, I want to get 15% off today, and then you can't pay the bill when it comes in, you're going to pay more in interest because your credit card go down than you saved on the that one purchase. So don't overdo it.
And if you want to pay off some of the 17 or 18 that you have, get it down to that three or four number. Is that the right move?
Yes, that would be the idea. And you can also do balance transfers. In other words, there is a lot of 0% money out there. It's just you're going to pay a fee up front, typically 3-4% of the amount you borrow. But a lot of people do, this is what I call credit card surfing. And they're going to do that in the Chicago River. It's going to be green, I guess, Friday, right? Are you going to have a green river there?
And are we going to re-dye it? We dyed it last weekend. Are we going to re-dye it, Andre, on Friday?
Works for me.
Okay. All right. We'll check that out.
But they're going to be credit card surfing on the Green River on Friday.
All right. So stand by. We'll come back with car loans and student loans.
Good.
And we'll find some more money for you. You know how hard I laugh when my kids pick on me. My niece Nina sent me a heckling birthday text yesterday with one of the highlights of my day.
What did it say? Can you say it?
I don't remember specifically. I just remember it was a good insult.
Like, hey, old man.
Solid. That kind of.
Yeah.
Solid. 755 Jordan Goodman, moneyanswers.com. Remember that website. All the resources we talk about here are on moneyanswers.com. Including the 75 books Jordan Goodman has written.
Only 14.
Jordan Goodman movie, his Broadway show.
You know, I was in a movie.
What movie?
I was in the smartest guys in the room, the Enron movie.
Oh, no kidding.
I was in there for about 5 seconds.
Nice.
I was on NBC.
Nice.
And they had a little bite of me. Luckily, I was not saying buy Enron.
No. That would have been bad for business. All right. So let's talk about car loans. People go, well, it is what it is. I just got to take whatever they offer.
No. People are getting much bigger car loans than they can afford. and the default rate is going up a lot. And now the new thing they have, these devices, these remote devices, that if you don't pay your car loan that day, you try it and they disable the car right away. In fact, you're driving along the Eden somewhere and they cut your car off, so you don't want to do that. So no, you have to get a better car loan. What you can do is refinance your existing car loan to a much lower interest rate or change the maturity of it so it's more affordable for you. A free website for that is MyLoanGen.com, MyLoanGen.com. You put in your existing car loan amount and interest rate and term, and then you have a little dial, and you can choose whatever you want to make it longer terms, bring your payment down, whatever it is. So I've just refinanced your car loan, MyLoanGen.com.
Getting a lot of texts about commercial real estate income funds. It's commercial real estate income funds with an S.
With an S. .com.
.com.
The phone number, 888-444-2102. That's been very popular with your listeners, to get 8% instead of zero in this environment.
Right? Student loans, can I refi?
Yes, you can. So there's a place called Credible.com, C-R-E-D-I-B-L-E. So do Credible.com/moneyanswers. They know it's me. That way you get $200 off your first payment that way.
Nice.
They've also got a phone number, 855-870-6005. You combine your federal loans and any private loans you've got into one at a lower rate, typically 2 to 3%, depending on your credit, but you know, going to be in the 2.5% rate, something like that. They've got about 5 or 6 different lenders that do refinancing of student loans, and you find out what's the best deal for you. And we just saved you a ton of money. I mean, 5% easily. A lot of these loans are 10% plus. So we're going to have the graduation season coming up soon. The average person is going to graduate with about $38,000 in student loan debt. That's the average. A lot of people, $50,000, $150,000, whatever it may be. What is Northwestern these days? Probably over $60,000.
$1.5 million.
Yeah.
Yeah, $1.5 million a year. It doesn't include room and board.
But if they win the NCAA, then they lower the tuition.
That's exactly right. No, I think it's 60 to 70, somewhere in there.
There's 150 colleges over $60,000 a year.
Yeah.
Now. It's just crazy, crazy.
The public universities are 20, 30 now, too, though.
Yeah. So the private
and frankly, the private schools need to be reined in. The private schools are, there's tax breaks for the private schools. There are ways to control costs at private schools. They are out of control, and they need to be reined in.
Yeah. So their tuitions are going up 6-7% a year, but the public schools are going up at a faster rate because they're getting less aid from the state in various ways. So the tuitions may be lower, but they're going up at a faster rate. So it is a huge problem for a lot of people. And then you add graduate school on top of that, law school, business school, medical school. That's another 200,000, 300,000, 400,000. I spoke to a group of dentists recently. They have like $400,000 in debt when they get out of dental school.
How about that?
It's really kind of crazy.
Man, need some more candy bars. They need some teeth to fix.
They love that. So again, credible.com/moneyanswers, 855-870-6005. I've helped. That's one of the biggest questions I get from your listeners all the time is, how can I handle my student loans? Because it's just a huge burden these days.
We give you more money information with Jordan Goodman in 30 minutes than the rest of the world gives you in a month. MoneyAnswers.com. What's one thing, Jordan Goodman, you are going to do with your own money today?
I'm going to buy biotech stocks today because there's going to be a new FDA commissioner who's going to make it much faster to get drugs on the market. And that's going to help the biotech stocks. You can either do the individual ones, or there's an exchange-traded fund called IBB, which is all the 20 biotech stocks, Celgene, Gilead, Biogen, Amgen, all those in one place. So that's what I'm going to do today is Biogen, because of the FDA. That people aren't looking at that one. That's a major new positive development for the biotechs.
And Jordan, as my friends would say, does very well. Thank you, buddy.
Glad to help take their emails all the time.
MoneyAnswers.com. You can email him right there, and he will get back to you. Dean, coming up, 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah.
Dean Richards live at Channel 9. Good morning, Dean.
Hello there. Good morning.
Puberty or?
Yes.
Kind of struck you there at an odd time.
The deal is, since I had this flu influenza,
yeah.
I had the influenza.
You did.
And my voice is just
Maybe it's puberty.
Slow. Well, maybe.
Maybe you're changing.
As a Peter Brady-itis. Maybe Peter,
when it's time to change. Remember like, that? That was classic.
Like Peter Brady.
Well, we had a scandal here in studio a few minutes ago.
Uh-oh.
President and CEO of Ravinia, our friend Wells Kaufman, came in. And Andrea was so excited to see him, she decked him and broke his leg in three places.
I was so excited. He told me he was coming back to Ravinia this year, and I'm sorry about that, Wells.
Yeah, Wells, we apologize.
I don't want to take
it, grab you.
Take any credit, but when he was here at Channel 9 this morning, just really for no reason at all, I just kicked him.
How did you break your leg?
I fell on black ice on Martin Luther King Day.
And
it was very exciting.
Your house or where?
At my house, front stoop.
And was anyone there to find you?
There was not. I dragged myself in like Christina's World, Andrew Wyeth.
Did you know how badly you were hurt?
I heard each of the three breaks snap like...
Oh, isn't that special?
It was great.
So you could reach the door?
I could reach the door.
You never passed out?
Dragged myself to the kitchen, found my phone, and called Highland Park Emergency. Praise the
Lord. Why'd you not have your phone in your pocket?
Because I'm an idiot. What can I say?
No.
He almost said something else. He's a didiot.
Yeah, I'm a diddiot.
Yeah, he was telling me how quickly the Highland Park police got there.
They did.
You know, that's when you have something like that happen. I had that happen with my mom a couple of years ago. And when you see these professionals responding quickly and getting things done, they get, you know, you only hear the bad stories. There's so many great stories.
So many great stories. Yeah, the EMT people came in and they said, how you feeling? And I said, it hurts a little bit. I think I broke my leg. And they said, you'll be fine. Let me take a look at it. And the woman goes, oh, my God.
That's not what you want an EMT to hear say.
And she said, I got to go away now.
So, okay. Yeah.
At any point, did any of them go, boy, I really like Tony Bennett?
They did, actually. They asked me about what was coming up.
There you go. I like your chances of getting to the hospital if I get front row tickets at Ravinia.
That's right.
All right, so you guys had Wells on TV this morning. The Ravinia lineup is out. This is always a big day, and we have a giant gramophone in studio.
You do.
Thank you for that.
You're very welcome. Yeah. They're wonderful, aren't they?
They really are cool.
Yeah.
What a neat gift.
Yeah, really fun.
Yeah.
And they you can wear them as a hat, too. Have you noticed that?
They actually would fit me. Yeah, that's a true size for me.
I'm excited. I'm already making my list.
Dean, did you look over yours?
Of who I want to see?
Yeah.
Yes, definitely.
All right, give me a few.
Want to see I've never seen Common in concert.
Great.
I've interviewed him a million times.
Yeah.
Talked to him a million times. Love the guy. I've never seen him in concert, and he's making his Ravinia debut this year. I want to see Pentatonix. Steve, do you know who that is?
Yeah, the acapella group.
The acapella. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I want to see them.
Phenom.
Sure.
Oh my God, they're so great. John Legend is like the first big act that's performing at Ravinia this year. I would love to see him. Tony Bennett is what? Wells, is he 90 years old now? 91?
We celebrated his 90th last year, so he'll be 91 this
How about
summer.
That?
Yeah, so we don't want to hear any whining about aches and pains,
That's
Tony.
That's right, exactly.
You were 90. Keep
right.
it going.
Exactly right.
Does he have any special things in his rider, like stay alive till the end of the show?
He does not, actually. He's actually the least rider-filled artist that we work with.
So low maintenance.
Yeah, completely.
Well, that's pretty cool. Yeah.
I got to think that we are way more high maintenance than a Tony.
I know I am. Andrea, your favorites.
All right, my favorites. I am so excited. I've been waiting. Blondie and Garbage.
Yes, absolutely.
My two favorite bands, and they're together.
Yeah.
Blondie, I saw a year before last. She just rocked.
Amazing, isn't it?
Blondie's got to be 65?
91.
No, she's like 70, right?
What we say in the business is that she's ageless.
Ageless. Yeah. Blondie rocked. She killed
totally great.
Last year. Stevie yeah. Nicks is coming, and Sheryl Crow is back.
Yeah, you're saw the girl her. Power.
I know, so I know.
Crawl, right?
I know, and yeah. I put Aretha down, too.
And
so
Aretha, definitely.
One, two, three, four.
How about Gladys
I have eight
Knight?
Shows.
Gladys Knight.
Oh,
yeah.
Gladys.
And Alanis.
With Michael
Bolton.
And Alanis Morissette.
Alanis Morissette.
Another debut. Wait, let's back it up to Gladys. Who's she with?
Michael Bolton.
Yeah. Oh, no kid.
Yeah.
That's going to be a good show.
It's a cool show.
It's a very cool show.
I was a pip.
Were you really?
I was a pip, yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah, I was middle pip.
Steve, you still are a pip.
We still call him Mr. Pip.
Yeah.
I
yeah.
like that.
But
how about a Sammy Hagar?
Yeah.
At Ravinia.
Yeah. That's a great weekend. That's Willie Nelson, Aretha Franklin, La La Land, introduced by a certain movie and culture critic we know from WGN. I think his name is Dean something, is going to set that up for us. Live
so
orchestra.
You couldn't get Dean tickets. He actually agreed to emcee that one.
You know, that score, though, is so
it's beautiful. Yeah. Oh, Milwaukee
God.
Symphony Orchestra playing. And then the next night is Sammy Hagar.
And a cool thing, Dean, I don't know if you know this about the Sammy Hagar show. Van Halen comes in and they have an argument on stage about who's in charge of the band.
How cool. You know, though, Michael Anthony is going to be with Sammy Hagar and Jason Bonham on drums. That's a great lineup.
He's a terrific musician, Sammy. I grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area. That's where he's from. And so we used to go to the concerts all the time. That's when Journey was still playing high school proms and stuff like that. Really, really great old days. But we also have, I got to tell you, Gustavo Dudamel, hottest conductor in the world, is bringing his National Youth Orchestra of Venezuela in September. That's going to be a great concert. James Levine's coming back to us. We're so thrilled about that after a long gap from between his music directorship at Ravinia and coming back, and Christoph Eschenbach and Long Long. So really, really good classical stuff as well.
As usual, incredible lineup. Tickets available how?
Ravinia.org to the public on May 9th. But if you want to help us keep the park beautiful and take care of underserved kids in the public schools, Lake and Cook County, you can make a donation and start buying as early as a week from today, March 22. All the information, Ravinia.org.
Nicely done. Stick around for a second. We'll talk some more.
Thanks.
I just want to talk about the movie nights for a second, because I've done these pre-show discussions the last couple of years where we have a chat with the audience who's out on the lawn. They put up a giant screen so people can tweet questions to me, and I answer questions about the movies or, comment about what people are tweeting. Sometimes it's really bizarre and hilariously weird. It's great. It's really fun, so I'll be doing that for La La Land. But the other really event, movie-wise, at Ravinia this year, Steve, they are showing all three of the Lord of the Rings movies.
Really?
On consecutive nights.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
With the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. It's a once-in-a-lifetime event, especially...
People encouraged to wear their costumes?
Come as a troll, have hairy feet, whatever you want.
But they can wear their costumes as well?
They must. the Lake County jokes. I knew they would come at some point.
Don't ever say hairy feet to Steve.
Yeah, exactly. All right, stick around, Dean. Stick around. Wells, we'll talk more about Ravinia in just a second. The Steve Cochran Show continues. Traffic, Mary.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor, Channel 972.
I just tried to fold up the Ravinia schedule. Like my dad on his 1968 Ford Galaxy or whatever that car was, with the map on the trunk, Dean.
Oh, I was doing exactly the same thing during the break. I opened up their beautiful brochure that they
have incredible.
With the full calendar.
Yeah.
And then I tried to fold it back up again. And, it's like a map of Wisconsin.
This is how Wells mocks us.
It's origami for King Kong, basically. It works.
Wells Kaufman's here, president and CEO of Ravinia Festival. A couple more from the big list. Darius Rucker. Tremendous.
Amazing.
Smokey Robinson.
Yep.
Smokey, and there is no nicer man in show
it's
business
so
than
true.
Smokey Robinson.
And haven't had him for almost 20 years. So.
Is that right? Yeah. Wow, that's cool.
It is.
Boz Scaggs and Michael McDonald.
Very, very good show.
Dean and I played all their records when we were disc jockeys.
Excellent.
Alanis Morissette's coming.
Yeah.
And then, Dean, two bands you may not be familiar with, but I was in both of them. Chair and Table Rental and Wine Club are both coming as well.
I remember when you were in
Wine Club. We got Wine Club again?
Yeah, Wine Club's coming in and Chair and Table Rental.
Excellent.
I remember when you were in that. You've got a couple of cool tributes this year. Also, Wells, tell us about those.
Yeah, we've got a tribute to Ira Gershwin, George's brother, who's the great lyricist of all the George Gershwin works, but also with Kurt Weill and so many other musical theater geniuses. And he's the guy that named Rhapsody in Blue, that George, of course, wrote, his most famous piece. And that'll be on that particular program with the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. We've got a tribute to John Adams, the Dean of American Contemporary Composers. A bunch of different works of John's being played, the CSO, chamber music recital, all sorts of prize.
So the CSO series is back, obviously?
Yeah, absolutely. 18 wonderful concerts. In fact, we just signed a new agreement with them that takes us another 10 years.
Excellent.
So, I'm excited about that. And, they're the best.
Sue George, which is a Brazilian funk, really superstars. Aren't they doing the tribute to David Bowie?
That's right, The Life Aquatic. So there's some film clips. He talks
about
meeting
Bowie.
Yeah, it's going to be terrific. It's that same weekend with Willie Nelson and Aretha Franklin and La La Land and Sammy Hagar.
You know, Dean, I'm fascinated by it. Wells, you're in a position at Ravinia where, you're not going, hey, we got an open date. Anybody know an Oompa band? So how do you decide who gets in? Because there's got to be a combination of acts you really, really, really want and finding the tour dates. combined with all the pitches you get.
So it's a combination. On the classical side, it's not so difficult. We start with the Chicago Symphony because their schedule is so regimented, and then we book in the artists, the conductors, the soloists. The next thing is recitals and chamber music. Then comes the non-classical performances, and those are tougher for exactly the reason you said. These are tours that can have six trucks, so they can't just come in for the night and then leave. Like Yo-Yo Ma can come in with a cello and play a concert and go. This is a much more complicated logistical maneuver. So what you do is you really try to work on the artists to make sure they understand the kind of experience they're going to have. And one of the things that was a little tough for Ravinia in the 70s and 80s is they kept bringing the same people back year after year. Every other year, no problem. You know, summer goes away,
right,
especially in Chicago. You forget it was summer because it's so cold.
Right.
But if you do it every single year, people start to get a little bored and the artists get a little tired too.
Yeah.
So you got to mix it up, make sure that it stays fresh. We have 85 debuts this summer. So that's the kind of thing we like to do. But people, they want to see Tony Bennett, right? They want to see Darius Rucker. They want to see Frankie Valli. They want to see Aretha, Gladys Knight, Willie Nelson, all these wonderful artists. And John Legend, who's only been with us, it'll be a third visit, but he already feels like a regular, as does Sheryl Crow.
And once they play Ravinia, they definitely want to come back.
They always want to come back. This is the thing.
I interviewed Audra McDonald.
Yeah.
She's in the new Beauty and the Beast movie. Yeah. And, you know, we were talking, and I hadn't gotten the schedule yet. I said, are you going to be on the Ravinia schedule? And she wouldn't say whether she was or she wasn't, which I love. She's going to be at Steppenwolf this year.
That's right.
But she speaks so glowingly. She loves performing at Ravinia, as so many of the artists do. And they can't wait to come back every year.
It's really, you got to get their foot in the door, and then they always want to come back. Bonnie Raitt's a good example. Never played Ravinia before 2002. Walked on stage, realized she had played Ravinia way back in the 70s with Jackson Browne, did a couple of encore numbers with him, but had never done a headlining show. And now she comes on a regular basis. Santana actually said to me, you know, I'm not going to come to Ravinia because my audience is going to go downtown somewhere else in Chicago. Finally got him to come. This is his third visit, so we're thrilled. Mellencamp, we've been working on for a long time.
And Mellencamp says, sure.
Yeah.
Love Mellencamp. The Go-Go's did 10 shows for their farewell tour. They picked Ravinia.
Yeah. We were actually the anchor for that tour.
Oh, my God. That was one of the best shows I've ever seen in my life.
So you're saying my Oompa band's got no shot?
No, I didn't say that. And we always have, you know, as long as you pay us, we're fine with that.
I understand.
What will Leslie Odom Jr. be doing?
Yeah, so this outrageously talented young man won the Tony for Burr in Hamilton, does a lot of television. He's sort of built into that Law and Order, you know, group of great Broadway actors. Wife's a great actress. He's going to do his nightclub act. So he'll be in the Martin Theater. I think this is going to be one of the fastest sellouts we've ever had. Sort of like when we had Alan Cumming in the Martin Theater a couple of seasons ago. Same sort of star power, but two artists who really wanted to be in the Martin. They want that intimacy.
Well, explain the difference.
So the Martin is 850 seats enclosed. The Pavilion is 3,400 seats plus the lawn. Mm-hmm. So it's not that Leslie or Alan couldn't have sold well in the Pavilion. This was really their choice.
Same acreage, by the way.
Same acreage is right, yeah. Yeah, it'll be great.
Train it, obviously. I mean, if you want to battle with the parking,
it's the way to go.
Has you can been certainly since 1904. Do it, but the train stops right there.
Right in front door. And now that we have this beautiful new aquatic sculpture, it's an even more glamorous entrance for people. And you don't have to cross a live train track, so you get to go underneath it. It's all good.
It's great to see you.
Good to be here.
And I'm sorry that Andrea tripped you.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm so excited.
Next time, we're going to cut her ticket allotment.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, we're not going to take it.
All right. How about just 8 shows?
Do you really have 10 shows?
I'm not kidding. I go at least to 3 or 4 shows a year. You guys know that. And then this year I picked one. Aretha, Sheryl Crow, One Republic, Blondie, Tony Bennett, Alanis Morissette, Mellencamp, and Stevie Nicks.
That's great.
For crying out loud, Wells, hire her.
You got to go to Pentatonics. You must go to this.
All right, now
put that
10.
Down on your list.
How
yeah.
fun would it be if
Why?
We had...
I buy all my tickets.
Don't you think, Dean, she should just work there?
Well, yeah, that would be helpful.
We could string a hammock up between a couple trees.
Say, this doesn't work out.
How cool would that be if you go to...
What'd you say, Dan?
I said, how cool would it be if you go to Ravinia and you go up to, you know, somebody who, you know, has the Ravinia clothes on and ask where the men's room is, and it's Andrea.
Right.
It's right over here. I know every bit. I know every inch. I love this place.
Come on, garbage is about to start.
I think it would be super fun if we had a Steve Cochran Show night at Ravinia.
Yes.
There we go.
Let's go.
Some winners can win some tickets.
It's a great idea.
I have 10 shows that we can host.
Probably that's probably the Gladys Knight night because she's going to want me to re-pip my pippage.
That's right.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo. Can you do that?
Oh, yeah, I can, but I'm not doing it for free. Wells, can we help you back to the car? How do we get you out of here now? Do we just follow you?
I'll get back around Thursday sometime. Yeah. It's no problem.
He's in good shape now, Dean, with the crutches. I don't know if you've ever been on crutches. I have a few times. Yep. But once you get past the initial pain of the injury, it's your armpits moving up around your ears that's the problem.
Yep. That's right. That's right. I look like one of the Lord of the Rings trolls. Basically. And we're back to that.
It's great to see you. Congratulations so on another amazing lineup. Thank and to your you. Staff as well and everybody here. The Ravinia people couldn't be nicer. Go do yourself a favor. Plan an outing to Ravinia. Plan more than one. You're careless. You'll miss the first one. And enjoy it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much.
Dean, thank you.
Thanks, Wells. Thanks, Steve. Thanks, Andrea. Thanks. Who else am I thanking?
Dean, we'll see you at Ravinia in the hammock.
Oh. Andrea's filling out her paperwork for the Ravinia employment thing.
I'll be greeting you when you host that night.
After the show today, I'm going to go to Crate and Barrel and buy one of everything to bring out to the lawn to Ravinia.
Why not?
Candelabras.
Why not? 8:32, back with a big story next, 720 WGN. And Dave Ennett's going to join us in a little Northwestern preview.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
1.7 to go in a tie game. Taphorn heaves it down the floor.
Got it.
Part of the catch, puts it up.
Yes!
Good! Wildcats win! Wildcats win! Derek Parton at the buzzer for the win! And the Wildcats have beaten Michigan 67-65.
Are we going to get trampled?
They're all in a pile right in front of us. Unbelievable.
Go Cats.
I don't know what's in the water today, but now Dave Ennett is delayed. Didn't we have a guest miss a slot earlier? Let's go live to Mark Carmen sitting across from me.
Hi, Steve.
For a preview until we get Dave Ennett for a preview. By the way, Willie the Wildcat just wandered by our window and no, we weren't seeing things.
Hey, he's so
cute!
Willie! Look at
him. Willie spreading the love outside.
He's so cute.
Yes, Willie. Willie's gotten all his shots. He's ready for game time. All right, the game tomorrow is when?
3:05 pre, 3:30 right around their tip. As you very well illustrated with the Gonzaga number one seed playing beforehand, you would think it would be on time, right at 3:30.
Yes. If Gonzaga goes to overtime against a 16, then that's news. All right, so what is Vanderbilt's biggest strength? What's their biggest weakness?
Listen, Vanderbilt can defend the paint. Vanderbilt can shoot the three. Vanderbilt has lost 15 times. Vanderbilt is coached exceedingly well by Bryce Drew, who, I mean, last year Vanderbilt was looked at as an underachieving team, and this year they're in the NCAA tournament. So that was nice progress, right? But look, again, they've lost 15 times. So this is a very winnable game for the Cats. I'm not saying they're going to win it, but if I was predict...
What's your downside?
Well, listen, it's their first time playing in the tournament, right? There's going to be, I would think, you know, maybe they come out and they play free and easy, but there's also, it's your first time in the NCAA tournament. Luke Kornet is their big guy, 7-1. You know, he's going to protect the paint, so the Cats are going to have to shoot well. And sometimes they do, and a lot of times lately they do, but sometimes they don't. So they're going to have to shoot well. And if they do, I think they'll win, end of the day. You've got a Matthew Fisher, who's scoring 13.6 a game for him, Steve. He's a junior, plays on the perimeter. Their point guard should match up. I think the Cats have the edge at the point guard spot with Bryant McIntosh over Riley LeChance, who is your standard collegiate point guard who has no chance of playing in the NBA but can shoot the three, all that. That guy, you know who I'm talking mm-hmm, about. Mm-hmm. So, the teams to me look very even.
What do we need outside strength-wise for Northwestern? Who's got to hit threes? Who's got to hit jumpers? Who are we counting on?
Well, when the Cats were rolling early in the season, I mean, remember they were 7-2 in the Big Ten before finishing 10-8. Scotty Lindsey was healthy. Scotty Lindsey didn't have mono. Scotty Lindsey was scoring the basketball a bunch. And he was also getting the passing lanes, playing great defense along with Vic Law. So they
but
missed
he's healthy it. Again.
And he's healthy again. And he's been playing very well. So, listen, Northwestern, if you go back, they had to beat Michigan after they lost to Indiana, which was a horrendous loss on the road. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, Michigan just won the Big Ten tournament, and the Cats played an incredible, incredible game to beat them at home, and that was the Nathan Taphorn long pass to Derek Harden and all that. So my point being, they're coming in playing well. They nearly beat Purdue at home after that. Then they win two games in the Big Ten tournament, beating Maryland basically on their home floor. And then they're playing three games in 3 days. So right now they're playing, I think, their best basketball of the year.
What will tell you in the first 5 minutes of the game if they're on it?
You know, what's interesting with that is that they've been down early in a bunch of games. They were down early at Wisconsin. They got down 10 to Maryland. And they're such a good defensive team that they can come back once if they get hot. So just if they go down 10 early, that doesn't mean that necessarily it's going to go against them.
But,
I mean, with Northwestern, for me, it's like when they lost the last game of the Big Ten tournament to Wisconsin, the very first play of the game, Brian McIntosh is bringing the ball up, and he just looks exhausted. That's not going to be the case tomorrow.
Right.
Their energy has to be super high. So they're going to be ready to go. You're not going to be able. You're not going to know if they're going to win in the first 5-10 minutes. You just won't. I don't think.
And there's no secret. You expect a close game.
I do.
Okay.
Unless they shoot very well, then if they actually really shot well, I think they could have a nice, you know, 8 to 10 point Wildcat winner.
And there's no secret as to how to beat Vandy. It's to shut him down outside.
Yep. They love to shoot the three. So. And listen, I've been studying Vanderbilt up, but I got to see him in action. I guess if I was to look at one thing, I don't think they're going to be out when Northwestern has trouble. Teams are much more athletic than them, and Northwestern's way more athletic than they ever have been. But that's when if you see that Scotty Lindsey can't get his shot off, Brian McIntosh can't get his shot off, then you got a problem. That's not going to be the case with Vanderbilt.
Okay.
Will there be a courtside appearance from Julia Louis-Dreyfus?
She's got to be there.
Of course, she'll be there.
Enough playing around.
Yeah, they didn't leave Charlie at school. He's with them.
Uh-huh. No, Charlie was on with us on Sunday. That guy is impressive.
Good guy, right?
Yeah.
Dave Annett will join us live from Salt Lake City coming up here in a couple of minutes. Before we get to that, back to Mary with the Cars.
Unbelievable.
Go Cats.
Na-na-na-na-na. I wrote the words na-na-na-na. Come on, sing along. Na na. And now live to Salt Lake City. That's a sentence I don't say very often as Dave Annett joins us. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, everybody, and happy birthday, Steve.
Thank you, buddy. Are you sick?
I am sick.
Oh, that's terrible.
No, I'm okay. I'll be all right. I'll be all right by 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, whenever the game is.
Dave sounds awful.
Mm-hmm.
Dave, are there doctors in Salt Lake City?
There are doctors in Salt Lake City, I'm very happy to say.
Okay.
You know, Michael Jordan once got the flu in Salt Lake City, Steve, and then he came out at one of his greatest games
ever. Are you suggesting that Dave's not going to man up? Dave's going to man up. Dave's going to be ready.
I'm saying he's going to be the MJ voice of the Cats.
That's what I'm talking about. So when did you start to get sick?
I think it was the morning after we got back from Washington. When I was in with you guys on Monday, I was starting to feel it.
Willie the Wildcat's here. Willie's ready to perform CPR if needed.
Well, Willie might need to step in tomorrow night.
No. You're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. Can you rest your voice today and tomorrow?
I'm going to try. But I don't have to do a game.
This adds such drama.
This is terrible.
To the run up to the game.
This is terrible.
This is tough. What are you taking?
I'm taking, let's see, there was a little Mucinex involved.
Mucinex is good. Mucinex is the right call.
A little decongestant, a little antihistamine, some Tylenol.
Right.
The athletic trainer for the Wildcats was able to provide me with some medication.
Good, that helped. Good.
So I was able to get a good night's sleep.
And no liquor, Dave, because you know don't want that to have the adverse effect on the...
No, and since you're under medical care, even if you're hallucinating in your state of illness, and a hot nurse shows up at your door that was not sent by us, that was sent by Vanderbilt to distract you, don't answer that door.
Yeah,
I got it. I don't think they allow that to happen in Salt Lake City anyway.
There's no hot nurses.
Is there any concern here, though, that Dave is taking up valuable time from the training staff away from the players?
Not at all.
No.
Dave is the most unselfish guy you'd know. Okay. Dave would lay in his room in his own filth and sweat and not bother the trainer.
It's true.
All right, we're going to, just to make sure you're okay, just like in a hospital, we're going to check on you and call and wake you up every hour to make sure you're feeling better.
I would appreciate that. Mm-hmm. It's nice to know people are looking out for me.
All right. This is your first trip to Salt Lake. You can't enjoy any of the sights.
Well, I mean, it's really a business trip anyway, Steve.
I suppose.
You know.
After they win tomorrow, though, you'll have Friday.
We'll have Friday, and, you know, I'll be better by then.
Yeah.
We actually walked around a little bit yesterday and last night. We got in here around midday. The flight from Chicago was understandably delayed a couple of hours.
Sure.
So we're a little behind schedule, but they went through a spirited practice at the University of Utah, which is right nearby,
right,
yesterday afternoon. And
right,
so I got to see the campus and get out a little bit today. We'll go over to the arena. They have the media availabilities today, and the teams will hold open practices over at the
All right,
arena.
I don't want you going over there. I want you staying in your room.
No,
wrap your head in a hot towel.
No, I'm going to go over there.
Oh, no. Don't go anywhere near the team.
Don't get him sick, Dave.
Well, I've already been near the team.
But not anymore. This is not the Mary Sandberg contagion school where once you've exposed them by standing near them, you can't expose them again. We've got to wrap yourself in bubble wrap. Wrap yourself in cellophane. Wrap yourself in something before you go over there.
They don't allow bubble wrap in Salt Lake City.
Oh, there you go. That's a problem as well. That's a complete problem as well.
Hey, I'll be okay. And
I know what you need, honestly. And you are in the wrong city for this, man. You know what you need? Whiskey.
Oh, no, not now.
No, he does. He needs whiskey.
Or a hot toddy.
Yeah, yeah. Can we get you maybe to Idaho quickly or any of the bordering states? Is Idaho bordering Utah? Any of the bordering states and get him some hooch?
I don't need any hooch, and I'm okay.
Wait, you're Dave Ennett, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Well, of course you need to.
Don't touch any of the players, Dave.
Yeah, seriously, man. Just stay in your room. You know, here's what you do. Have somebody go over there and FaceTime you what's going on. Just hold up their iPad.
I could do that.
Yeah.
Joey could do that, or Adam Phillips. Sorry.
Got to take care of yourself. Stay in that room.
Yeah. I'd go a little stir crazy, I think.
Dave, are they going to win?
So late here, but I was worried about you, Dave. Of course they're going to win. We're going to check on you tomorrow morning.
I really appreciate that.
Yeah, I don't think you would, but we're going to do it anyway. Back with CLTV joining us next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
All right, Andrea, you and I are going to play high-low.
Woo-hoo.
With a listener. Actually, let's make it two. Two listeners at 312-981-7200 to want to play high-low. And we have fabulous prizes to give away. I mean, fabulous prizes. A pair of tickets to The Price is Right Live, two shows this fall at the Rosemont Theater, November 11th. It's the hit interactive stage show that gives eligible contestants a chance to come on down and play the classic games. Does Drew Carey tour with us?
I think he does, right?
Or is it a guy that looks like Drew Carey?
I love this show. This was the game show I used to watch with my grandma, and it was the first time I ever had coffee because my grandma would make Sanka.
Yeah.
Remember Sanka on the Shut Up Instant Coffee? What? Sure. I loved her.
Sanka crystals.
She'd make Sanka on the stove and have coffee.
By the way,
Karim's
not laughing at your grandmother. He's laughing at the fact that you...
That I said Sanka?
Said Sanka.
I haven't heard Sanka in at least 20 years.
We would watch The Price is Right every day.
Yeah, whenever I stayed home from school, I'd watch The Price is Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tickets go on sale Friday, March 17th at 10 a.m. Did you know Bob Barker and Gene Rayburn from the Match Game both had the same long microphone, and we don't know why?
And so didn't Wink Martindale, too?
I don't think he did. I think it was just Barker and Gene Rayburn had the long stick microphone.
That long mic?
Compensating for something.
And remember all the models? Holly and Janet? And
sure.
The other one that Bob Barker dated. And
dated's the right word. Tickets go on sale for The Price is Right Friday, 10 a.m. at Ticketmaster and Rosemont Theater's box office. We also have Northwestern University swag to give away this hour. Spot the purple on CLTV when you see it. Wait for the roar. And when you hear the roar, be the seventh caller. It'll happen before 10 o'clock. So look for the purple now. And when you see the purple, you be the seventh caller when you hear the roar. Tell us where the purple is, and you'll win some Northwestern swag that we are giving away as well. All right, before we get to the Hawks Express and our callers, how do we play high-low, MC?
High-low is you're going to get six items.
Okay.
You have to tell me which items you think are the three most expensive.
Okay.
And then if you're correct,
Can we play two contestants at once, or we have to go one at a time?
Let's go one at a time.
Okay.
We'll play two rounds.
All right, back after this with that. First at 9:15, brought to you by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. Let's relive another great Hawks win.
Visit to the Mecca of hockey, Montreal, tonight to engage the Canadiens for the last time in this regular season. Keith, he'll flip it off the end boards to Jalmerson, who drives the puck around up the high right glass to center ice. Nice move by Anisimov to spin away from Emelin. Carry the puck, get over the Canadian line, hands it right circle, Kane shoots, he scores! Patrick Kane! Snap that one past Carey Price on the stick side. Anisimov made the play happen. It's 1-0 Hawks. Schmaltz leads a 2-on-1 break over the Canadian line, right circle, trying to flip it across. Great play by Petrie to lay down, get the shot to the stick on the shot. Then Oduya fires from the left point, he scores! Welcome back, Johnny Oduya! Lets it rip from the left point, it beats Carey Price over his left shoulder into the top right corner, 2-0 Hawks. Kane over the Canadian line, top of the left circle, turning away to the boards, leaves the puck there, Schmaltz to a wide open, Panarin in front, shoots, he scores! 47 seconds into the third period, Artemi Panarin finds the top right corner past Price, and the Blackhawks lead the Canadiens 3-0. Gallagher into the Hawk zone, leaning down the side of the net, put it out in front, Panarin shoots and scores! Almost 53 minutes. 3-1 off. Kradulov gave the puck to Galchenyuk behind the net to Weber. Left right corner, shoots and scores. Well, there's a cannonading blast for sure off the stick of Shea Weber. That's his second goal in as many games against the Hawks this season. And this is going to be very interesting now. 3-2 Hawks with 3:28 left in the third. Keith, the Kane Hawk line, passing it at the Taves on the Canadian line, right wing side with a backhand shot. He scores! An empty net goal for Jonathan Taves. And that will put it away. And with that goal, Jonathan Taves now moves into sixth position all time in Chicago Blackhawks scoring ahead of Tony Amonte.
Congratulations. By the way, all our winners every day also get a Chevy Drive Chicago.com WGN Radio Stainless Steel Travel Mug and a bag of Papa Nicholas Coffee, courtesy of my friends, your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. We'll take the break. We'll come back with Mike and Linda, both vying for Price is Right tickets for the Roadshow coming this fall. Tickets on sale Friday with your host, Bob Barker's illegitimate daughter, Mary Sandberg Boyle, Comcast Sportsnet. She'll be hosting the game show in just a second. Andre and I will play with both listeners, giving them both an equal chance to win or lose. That's next on 720 WGN. Oh, well. Welcome to the Price is Right Radio Edition, non-licensed, non-sanctioned. Standing by on the phone is Mike and Linda. Linda will be our first contestant as we play the high-low game. Good morning, Linda. How are you?
Good morning, Steve. I'm excited.
Nice to talk to you. I'm going to turn you over to our hostess, Bob Barker's illegitimate daughter, Mary. Go ahead.
Hello, Linda.
Oh, hi, Mary.
Hi. Do you want to be playing with Andrea or Steve?
Well, Steve is my son and my husband's name, so I'm going to go with Steve.
Good call. Right. Andrea, right, chime in if I don't know the answer.
Thanks, Linda.
Team Linda and Steve.
Okay, here we go.
Linda, I'm going to give you six items, and then you're going to tell me which ones you think cost the top three that are the most expensive, and if you're correct, you'll win some tickets.
So we have to tell you the top three most expensive out of the six.
Out of the six. So don't let me tell you the items first.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So, a two-count package of Bounty paper towels.
Oh, of course.
Huge roll, right?
Yeah,
two-ply whites.
Yeah, of course.
A two-count package. So that's
got
just
it.
The two rolls.
And
yeah.
Neither of you can ask Mary Sandberg Boyle Comcast Sportsnet for help on that.
All right, got it.
A 56-count box, one box of Puffs Plus Lotion Facial Tissues.
56-count?
Okay. That's what's in one box.
Oh, well, that's the number of Kleenex in the box?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
How often do you buy Kleenex?
Every couple of minutes.
Okay.
I keep going out for more.
A Cottonelle Ultra Comfort Care bathroom tissue double roll, 2-ply, a 12-pack.
So it's toilet paper.
Toilet paper, a 12-pack.
A 12-pack of toilet paper, okay?
Yes. Okay.
Peapod napkins, 1-ply.
Will they give those away? Okay. Got it.
Viva Choose a Size paper towels, 1-roll.
I can't believe you could even say that out loud.
I know.
One roll. Was the bounty 2 rolls or one?
It was 2 rolls.
Okay.
We get one more thing, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Quilted Northern Ultra Plush bathroom tissue.
More toilet paper.
6-count package. This is the paper product section.
All right. So there's the 6 items. All right. I'm going to give you mine, and you tell me if you agree.
Okay.
The first toilet paper, whichever that one was. The third.
It was a Cottonelle Comfort 12-pack. I'm with you, Steve.
12 of those. The 2-roll bounty.
Okay.
The 2-roll bounty, and then I think the 6-roll toilet paper.
The last one, right?
Yeah, that's where I'm. Are you with me?
I'm with you all the way, Steve.
Let's go. Yeah! Who does the grocery shopping? Who's been living in the jewel?
Who's been living in the jewel?
Who's been living in the jewel?
You didn't help with any of this, Mary.
I did not. I did not tip them off.
All right.
Linda, Mike's got no chance with Andrea. Stand by.
Hey.
Loving it.
Me and you, Mike.
All right, so here we go. Hey, Mike, I was just telling Linda how good you're going to do.
Mike, I was hoping I'd be with you.
Mike, I was just mentioning to Linda that you're the best. You always have been. All right, so Mike, you and Andrea will play. You've got 6 items. What category are these?
These are breakfast and cereals.
Sorry, Linda and Steve.
All right, let's go.
Aunt Jemima Complete Pancake and Waffle Mix. Buttermilk flavor.
Okay, that's got to be 50, 60 bucks, I'm thinking.
Okay. Kellogg Eggo Pancakes. Mm. The frozen ones.
Frozen pancakes.
Kellogg's.
That's got to be 50, 60 bucks, I'm thinking.
A 12-ounce box of Rice Krispie cereal.
Rice Krispie cereal.
Is that the Big Macs or the normal size?
That's the normal size.
Okay.
Is that the one that comes with the bar of gold in it, I think? Yes.
A box of Nabisco Belvita breakfast biscuits.
I'll eat those. Those are pretty good.
Blueberry flavor.
Yeah, those aren't bad.
That's a full box.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of, I mean, you know, if you're hungry. I mean, they certainly, they're sort of like insoles for a shoe, but they're blueberry flavored insoles.
Okay, go ahead, Mary. I'm not listening.
A box of Honey Nut Cheerio cereal.
All right. That's like 50, 60 bucks easy.
I'm writing. I love how we're smack talking about the breakfast cereals. Okay, go ahead.
Good morning. A Balance Bar Nutrition Bar Peanut Butter Flavor. One bar. Not a package.
That's clearly the most expensive item. You wouldn't believe how Balance Bars have gone up.
All right. So those are our items, right?
Yep.
Mike, do you want to say what you think?
No, you tell Mike what you think.
You go first, Andrea. I'll take the lead.
Okay, I'm going to say...
Somewhere Linda's laughing.
I'm going to say the pancake and waffle mix, the Kellogg, the number 2, and the Nabisco biscuits.
Boy, I wish you'd done better.
Doesn't look good for you.
No, it's incredible.
Mike, you agree?
Let's go with those 3.
You like those 3, Mike?
Yep, I'm going to trust her.
Okay.
Oh! What did I mess up on?
What a shame.
The box of Rice Krispies is more expensive than the pancakes.
You're kidding.
The other two she got right?
That's what threw me. That was good because I thought the Rice Krispies and the Honey Nut Cheerios would be the same price.
Oh, what a
price.
Shame.
Yeah.
That's why living in a jewel makes such a difference.
Mike, I'm sorry.
Were the other two correct?
The other two were correct. Yeah.
You know what I'm going to do for you, Mike, because unfortunately, you're a loser. I'm going to give you, I'm going to make you a winner as well, Mike. How about that? You get the tickets as well.
Thanks, yes.
And Linda, let's go to the champ. Linda.
Hey, wee.
Linda and Steve.
You coming with me?
Absolutely, Linda. And I'm going to throw in a Lou Malnati's pizza. I'm going to give you a Lou Malnati's pizza. I'm going to give you an Apt gift card.
Does Mike get all that too?
Nope.
Oh.
Nope. But Mike does get the tickets to The Price is Right Live. Tickets go on sale Friday, 10 a.m. at Ticketmaster and Rosemont Theater box office. All right, Linda, we'll figure out if you're driving or I am. Hold the line. It's 9:28. Nice job, MC. And you've been listening to High Low Without Permission from CBS or The Price is Right. And we're back after this on 720 WGN.
the Steve Cochran Show.
Amit recommends it for a fantastic communal experience with outstanding food. Joe said it was a new experience for him, and he liked it overall. Katie thought the food was delicious and had a great time. Join us next week for three new guests recommending three of their favorite restaurants right here on Check Please. I'm Catherine Durio, and I'll see you then. Cheers.
The talented and lovely Catherine Diorio is in studio now with her beautiful smile and her Check Please, along with, you know about culinary camp? Do you know about chef camp? You know about cooking camp?
I didn't know about cooking camp until I read out, read the notes that Catherine sent. Which
nice
is
to see you.
Really cool.
Good to see you too. Thanks for having me.
New season?
It's a new season. We're starting up. So actually, you can apply to be on because we're looking for new guests for the new season, WTTW.com/checkplease. So be sure to go there and apply.
Well, there you go.
How do you pick? Is there a method? I know Barack Obama a long time was on it, but is there a method to picking? I mean, do you have to do like so many women, so many men, so many people of a certain age?
Well, that's the secret sauce of Check Please, right?
Right.
Here's
what happened. The producers lock in guests, and at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, an hour before taping, somebody calls and cancels. And then Catherine goes out and panics and picks somebody from the parking lot.
Yeah, luckily they protect me from the casting part of the job.
You'd lose your mind.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I have enough things to worry about.
Well, the other thing, too, is if you were casting, you would have what you always have, everybody coming up going, do you think I could be on sometime?
Exactly.
I bet you get that everywhere, right?
Yes, and I do get that, and it's very nice to be able to say I have no part in the casting.
Right.
Thank you, David. Thank you, Jackie.
They let you off the hook. How many years for Check Please now?
I'm going into year 5.
How about that?
You can believe it.
Yeah.
I know.
So cool.
And there's very few people in television where you get universal, I love her. I've never heard anybody say anything negative.
Oh, well, that's good to hear. Thanks.
So let's get into your
Keep
deep,
talking.
Dark past. Let's get into your deep,
yeah.
dark past. You're a horrible diva and you're impossible to work with, right? Is
Awful.
That the story?
I throw tantrums all the time.
I thought that was the case.
Not once. Okay, but I do have to ask you this. I love the dynamic of the show. I love when everybody agrees. You know, when they all agree on the
That's because you get nervous when people fight.
No, that's what I was going to ask Catherine, though. Is it weird when somebody... Because you see kind of toward the end of the show, mm-hmm. they say, well, yeah, the service wasn't great, but the gnocchi was delicious, whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. Is it really awkward when someone really doesn't like a restaurant that somebody else has picked?
You know, it's funny you ask that because my first couple seasons, I'm just kind of by nature, I like everyone to get along, have a good time. For me, I'm Italian.
No wonder you and Andrea
are
friends.
Loving each other and sharing good experiences. So those first few seasons I would get kind of nervous and just want to make a joke so everyone laughs again and everyone's back. But you know, I actually realized over time that it's just better. It's a better show and it's better for our viewers.
TV.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And it's more informative. It's actually something, if everyone says, oh yeah, it was great, I liked it because everyone just wants to be nice and have fun together, well, our viewers aren't really getting an actual picture of what that restaurant is, right? And that's really, we're trying to manage our viewers' expectations or just kind of let them, this is what you can expect to get when you go to this restaurant, right? Mm-hmm. So I've had to become very comfortable with conflict. And I think that's actually been a very good thing, something that's like helped me to grow just in general as a person.
How about that?
Is cool. Let it
grow
through out.
TV hosting.
Yeah. Who knew?
Has anyone ever sandbagged you where they seemed like a regular person, they turned out to be a food snob?
Yeah, we definitely get some, I guess, food snob.
And then they want to show off, right, when the camera's on?
And there's definitely some that they want to. But, you know, I have to say, I kind of like that. Because at the end of the day, I love food. And so anyone who just really, really loves it that much.
Right.
And really kind of wants to show what they know.
Right.
It's great. And the funny thing is that you'll see sometimes the other guests will, when someone does that, instead of backing down, a lot of them will kind of be like, well, I know about food too. So then people, you actually kind of end up getting a really good conversation.
Do you have to try the restaurants too?
I do. I go to all of them. My jean size at the end of the season will attest to that.
I was going to say, because you look fantastic. But you have to go too, so you know what they're talking about if they recommend something.
Exactly. I go, I eat at all of them, talk to all the chefs, do tours of the restaurant or kitchen.
And can they pick what they want, or do they all have to eat the same meal?
Oh, no. They just go. So the restaurants don't know.
Okay.
They go with whoever they want to go to, whenever they want, and they just eat what they want. So it's great because some people will go and they'll be like, I rolled in with 13 people, you know.
Right, right.
Okay, you know. And then other people just go on like a date night. So it's interesting. So you do get kind of a nice perspective. And I love when the guests kind of all go, like, you know, a young girl goes with all her girlfriends at happy hour and then rolls into dinner, or, you know, or like the other couple goes for a date night, because you get an idea.
Perspective.
Is this a good restaurant for that? You know, type of occasions.
Steve Alexander's upstairs in the business studio. Hi, Steve, Catherine. You have a question for Catherine?
I do. Love the show.
Thank you.
I noticed you and your guests drink a lot of wine. I'm wondering, has that ever caused a problem?
That's a good point. You ever have a good bar fight at the end of a show?
You know, in my tenure, we've had someone be drunk, but in a good way. I just thought.
In a good way. In a Dave way.
So a happy drunk.
Yeah. I mean, I was like, you're one of my peeps. You can hang with me. You know, let's go out after the show.
I love every restaurant.
He just got increasingly more like... increasingly more smiley, and it was funny because even the way they ultimately edited, I think they couldn't edit around the fact that you kept seeing him just like slugging back like the wine. But I mean, he was great, and he was just a very articulate,
sweet, drunk,
intelligent person. And he kept it going through, you know, his whole drunk. I was like, all right, you're a good kind of drunk to have.
What do you do with categories where people go, I don't eat Thai, I don't eat this, I don't eat that?
Yeah. You know, everybody, it's kind of one of the things with the show, that's part of when the producers are casting, you know, they do these calls beforehand to make sure that people are kind of food explorers, so to speak, and are kind of open-minded.
So if anybody just goes peanut butter and jelly and macaroni and cheese, they're probably not going to get
on. They're probably not going to get on the show. So there you go, everyone. All you listeners that want to be on the show, that's a tip.
It's,
you know, you want to make sure you're adventurous.
Talk about your affiliation with Kendall College.
So I became the executive director at Kendall College Trust.
Right.
Which
is a great culinary arts school, right?
Exactly. And I actually attended, I went to the culinary program at Kendall.
Okay.
When I changed careers to get into the food industry. And I became the executive director, and the trust is the charitable arm.
Okay.
So we raise scholarship funds for culinary, hospitality, and business students at Kendall College.
Good.
And then this last year, we started a culinary camp. So we partner with CCAP, which is Careers to the Culinary Arts Program, which is a culinary program within the CPS system. So
do all the kids at school go through the camp, or is it something they option?
So, well, they apply. They go through a competition.
Oh, good.
And then the students that...
so they got to earn their way in.
Highest, exactly.
Okay.
And then we open up the rest of the spots to, you know, students that apply and have the merit, and they go through a standard application process for it. And it's great. It's a week long. They come to Kendall. So they're high school students. They're thinking they want to pursue a culinary career.
Sure.
They come to Kendall. They do classes all day at the Kendall kitchens. They stay at the Kendall dorms, which are great, which are over 28 East Jackson. So they're like right in kind of the heart of the city.
Yeah. What a cool experience.
Very fun. And then at night we take them on cultural excursions. So
they
go to like a play or go to a fine dining restaurant so they can see the city. And these are all kids from, you know, the South and West Side. We only allow students from underserved communities to be a part
of this. That's great.
And so we really want to give them these opportunities. It's really great.
And these are all 17, 18-year-olds probably?
Well, so last year, we actually are expanding the camp this year, which is very exciting. So last year, it was a junior year, so 16 to 18 roughly.
That's great.
And then this year, we're opening it to freshmen and sophomores. So we're going to have those 13, 14-year-olds that are kind of thinking they want to go into culinary, don't know a lot. So we have a session called Taste of the Kitchen. They'll learn a little bit of front of house, a little bit of baking pastry, a little bit of culinary.
How's it funded?
And so, well, fun. Oh, that's a good question. Okay, everyone
out
there, listen up.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's individual donations. We apply for grants. The organization itself helps fund it because just through our fundraising efforts throughout the year.
Right.
Which actually, there's a fundraiser tomorrow night at
what?
Italy.
What? There is?
Yes.
Oh, I love
that's
Italy.
Crazy
you
that
love
we would.
Italy?
Yes. Oh, how can
great.
You not love Italy?
How weird
right?
that we would have you in at a time like this. Thank goodness there's something to plug.
Right. But this is an easy fundraiser. Because, you know, a lot of times you go, fundraiser, $150. You got to dress up and you're exhausted.
Sure.
You've been through workouts. This is easy. 6 to 9 at Italy. You come in. You eat a pizza. $10 of your pizza comes to the trust. It's great. So it's
that's
super
tremendous.
Easy.
That's awesome.
And I designed the pizza.
Oh, that's very
ooh.
Cool.
Do we get a preview?
Yeah. So it's delicious. So you can order other pizzas if this isn't your thing, but it's San Marzano tomato sauce with a little andouille in it, which is a spicy Calabrian salami, and it's almost like a spreadable salami. Hello, yum. And so that's the sauce.
Wow.
And then I
like how you turned into a little Jewish lady for a second. Hello, yum.
I swear, I think I'm half Jewish. I don't know.
Right. What else is on it?
And then some soppressata, so spicy soppressata, and mozzarella, and then burrata, which is the combination of mozzarella with a little bit of the cream inside.
Okay.
And so, and Italy's making me special sized ones. So they're tiny little ones. So you get three little ones on your pizza and on a little bit of fresh arugula, just so you have a little bit of freshness.
Wow, sounds great. It's delicious. Will you be there?
Of course. Yeah. I will be there in the kitchen, actually. You will see me slinging
you'll be there
pizzas.
Working? Yes. Oh, how great is that?
Me to work.
All right, so tomorrow night.
Yes, tomorrow night, 6 to 9 at Italy. You can make reservations or you can just come on in.
I think this is wonderful. We interviewed a bunch of high school students, far south side, and they were taking advantage of, there was, I think, one high school which offered a certain type of cooking class, and they all wanted to get into it. But it's such a warm way and a perfect opportunity for students who might otherwise not have this opportunity to learn how to cook.
That's the thing. And I think it's so important. You know, I think that America in general has kind of forgotten the importance of vocational training. Yeah. And this is one of those professions where, you know, students learn differently. So some students just want to work with their hands. That's how they learn. That's how they perform best. And I think it's really important for people to fund programs that give vocational training.
Well, and to take kids from not the, you know, your traditional circumstances and that don't have all the opportunities and show them this is an opportunity for them.
Exactly.
That's what kids need to be. That's how kids get inspired. They go, well, I've got
Absolutely.
Options.
Absolutely. Well, and that's the thing. High school, you think it's the most formative time of your life.
Sure.
And it's also the most difficult time to kind of march to the beat of your own drummer. So we're putting them in a camp where they're not with their best friend from school. They're with other kids that are interested in the same thing as them from all over. So they're creating this network, you know, of like-minded individuals where they feel like, oh, I'm not weird because this is what I want to do. Yeah. And they make friends. And so they can communicate. Now with social media and Facebook and all these things, these kids can continue to communicate much easier than maybe, you know, even 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. So they can keep in touch and kind of inspire each other to keep going and pursuing this.
Good for you.
So I just love
be very
the program,
rewarding.
Obviously. It's really, really great. And it's exciting to watch it grow.
I'll bet. We'll remind you how you can help out, too, just through a donation in general in a second. But when we come back, we also need your help in trying to fix Mark Carmen's social life.
Okay.
So stick around for just one second. It's 9:51. Bill and Wendy coming up as well on 720 WGN. We're back with Catherine DeOrio. And Catherine, Mark Carmen, the guy you're sitting next to, he's an attractive fellow, isn't he?
Very.
Yeah. Well, let me get your mic on. Hey,
please turn the mic on. Say that again, please.
Very.
Okay. Here's some more texters. This morning you said you didn't know if you could concede in a relationship. Mm-hmm. 219 says, no concessions. You want to be right or you want to be happy?
I want to be right.
No, you don't.
And you don't want to be married.
Yeah, exactly.
How about both, Steve? Why can't I get both? Why can't we have our cake and eat it too?
Can I tell you the great secret of being the great secret of being a grown man?
Okay.
Great secret of being a grown man is there is no 50-50. There is no 50-50.
What is there?
Women need more communication, and they need more experiential emotions. And because of that, and you don't because you're a dude, don't strive for 50-50. Strive for occasional 50-50 and strive for 45-55 most of the time. If it's 90-10 in the opposite direction, that's where relationships end. But this 50-50 nonsense, you don't need 50-50.
Steve, you have to accept 100% of your own situation.
Yeah, you're single.
Steve, I just got chills.
Yeah, okay.
I know, he's so enlightened, right?
872. 872, oh. Leather jackets and cowboy boots. Well, that's a look. Well, you know, some like 708. Good luck. This is about the hopping into bed. Good luck, Carm. Try waiting. Took me a long time to figure it out, but it works. You'll find love. You're super cute, and I love you on the radio.
See, I kept saying all morning, Catherine, it's a good thing he's cute.
Yeah.
Thank you, family.
All right. So if you can give Mark one piece of advice that maybe you wish all men knew about women, or one piece of advice for him, what would it be?
I'd say just don't try to fix it. If we are talking to you about something, don't try to fix it. Just let us listen. Just listen to us. Just listen. And it's an easy job for a guy. They don't want to talk half the time anywhere. So just sit there, nod your head every once in a while. And now my husband kind of knows. He learned some trick from a friend. So now I always catch him up because I'll say, are you even listening to me? And he'll repeat the last thing I said. And I said, what did I say right before that? And his face will go blank. So learn the two sentences they said before.
Listen,
that's
she's so right.
It
took me forever to learn this because as a guy, we are fixers and you don't like upset and you want to fix it. But shut up and listen because you need to get it out.
Mm-hmm.
You're not looking for an answer.
I don't need an answer. No, like women, we don't want that. We just want you to feel sorry for us and say, it's going to be okay, honey.
I think the key word here is empathy. We want you're looking for a little an empathetic
gentleman. Oh, look, you are sensitive. All right, Catherine, one more time. Culinary camp or helping in general. How do we do
it? Yes. So go to KendallCollegeTrust.org. You can donate online. You can come to Eataly tomorrow. And in November, we have Fried Chicken and Champagne Fest, which is our big fundraiser.
And a brand new season of Check Please coming on Channel 11. Great to see you.
Great to see you. Thanks for having me in.